ABM2.
In a world racked by mediocrity, two angry heroes from New Jersey have returned from 20 years of self-imposed exile. Their mission, to blaze a trail of freedom in defiance of all odds. Inexpensive surreal comedy is their weapon. Smiting the obsequious and vanquishing oppression is their calling. Their lives have reconverged at a time when the universe needs them most to make one final stand. They have been called so wildly pathetic as to be insane, branded ignorant of history and a host of other things, and found guilty of human rights violations. This is the story of a man named Brady, who was bringing up three boys of his own. Where Indian fights are colorful sights, and nobody takes a lickin'. Where Paleface and Redskin both turn chicken. Love, exciting, and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. I don't actually know where I'm going with this. But they do. There's an exit ramp up ahead. Abandon reality. It's time for the Anything But Monday Show.
So you think I'm driving your car? Sing karaoke from my boss? Got my mind in the car. Don't forget to pick up the dough. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's got to stop. Saturday, Sunday, I can't.
Okay, coming to you live from the armpit of northern New Jersey. Yes. This is Mad Mike, yes, and my partner and sidekick as always.
I am Frank Edward Nora, along with Mad Mike Masters, and we are your hosts on the Anything But Monday Show. Welcome.
For episode 2.
Yes, episode 2.
We've made it back after one episode.
Exactly.
And it's time for retirement, I think, Frank.
Yeah. And the date of the show is going to be Monday, the 26th of February, 2007.
Yes, the only podcast actually worth paying for.
Yes.
As proven by our numerous premium members that we now have, Frank.
Yes. If I might say that on Monday, last Monday, February 19th, 2007, at 12:30 a.m. Eastern Time.
Yes.
We flipped the switch, turned on the site. ABMshow.com was launched. And it was a successful launch. The first show was up there. Everything was there. And everything's functioning properly. And we have premium members. So I'm very happy about that, aren't you?
Yes. It took 2 hours and 20, what was it, 2 hours and 20 minutes after we put it up that our first premium member.
Exactly. We had our first premium member, Neil from Ireland.
Neil from Ireland.
Yes, Neil from Ireland. And he did post on the brand new, of course, Anything But Monday forum, reminding you of your statement.
What did I say?
All right, hold on. Let me bring this up.
Great. I'm going to be quiet on what I'm saying. I want to remind everybody, Frank, that today I am featuring this very special candle. This is the soy wax candle with pure essential oil. It's burning in the studio today. It is cinnamon. And the reason why I brought this candle is because it's arousing and warming. And
as you can arousing
see,
and warming.
And as you can see, I am fully aroused from this candle. So I thought I'd show you that before we got started today.
We have the very arousing candle because it is kind of late at night as we're recording this. We're recording this on Friday, and it's I had a long day at work.
Doing nothing.
No, I'm very busy at work.
You're doing nothing at work,
listen,
man.
I work.
You don't work.
What do you do at work? I was sitting in front of the computer all day.
Yeah, great.
Typing.
Great. I've been driving around, you know, to a place, this hard place called Long Island, New York. You know, the world could just know it all. You think like Cambodia is a bad place. You think Bangladesh is a bad place. Try Long Island. Once you go there, it's like hell.
Long Island is hellish. For those of you that don't know, this area we're in. We're here in New Jersey, but there's this other. There's Manhattan and New York City. Then on the other side of that is this other place.
Yeah,
and it's very unpleasant. I think for people that live there, somehow they get used to it. But yeah. from this perspective, it's a very cramped. There's always traffic. It's a very unpleasant place. I can't really put my finger on it.
The weather is very harsh. Look, there's toxic waste. There's two islands you do not want. There's two islands you do not want to go to. okay, in the New York metropolitan area. One of them is Long Island. The other one is Staten Island. Now, Staten Island is full of people that are just, I think they just took every warped, degenerate, diseased person in this, and they put them on that island to breed with each other. It's the most hard place in the world.
You know? Well, it's like a landfill, right? Then they have these giant mounds of garbage there.
That's what's there, exactly.
Well, we have that in New Jersey too.
But that's what it is, you know. And it's like, you know, and this is my trip to Long Island today. I drive it out there. It takes me 3 hours to go 20 miles. It's like essentially 20 miles.
Yeah.
Right. Why? Because no, it never fails. You're on the LIE for 5 minutes, and what's happening? They're digging the jaws of life to get some guy out of a tractor. The trailer truck. It's like 50 miles of traffic backed up, 50 firefighters, and assaulting some poor guy out of a truck. Okay? Then I get through that, and I get to right where I'm supposed to be. I'm 0.3 miles away on my navigation. 0.3 miles, right? What happens? They're routing every car. I'm seeing 5,000 cars under this small side road. Why? Why? Because there was a car fire that burned at 5:30 in the morning. It's now 10:30 in the morning. 5 hours. The car's been burning, and it's still there. You know, this is what I'm talking about. This is not Iraq. This is America.
That's Long Island for you, though. I tell you, it's another place.
Just don't go there, man.
Do not go to Long Island. And it's like a dead end. It's just an island.
I'm really angry.
It juts out into the ocean. There's nowhere to go from there.
I'm just really angry, Frank. You know, I actually thought about it. You know, I felt really bad about it. You know, do you remember on episode 6 when I killed you with a pickaxe or your spinal column?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
But you actually remember, I actually thought about that. I had to go back and fix that.
Episode 6?
Yeah, I had to go back and fix that later.
Really?
That. You know, good thing we had that ability because, man, I was really upset about that.
So in the future timeline, wow.
Yeah. Episode 6 came right in, but right through your spinal column.
When's that? Like 2000 and...
Episode 6?
Oh, that's sick. That'll be this year. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it is very late at night, but I have something to help me. I have my 24-ounce... This is it looks like a regular 7-Eleven coffee, right?
However.
But it's not.
What is it?
Like I said, it's been a long day at work, and now we're here in the middle of the night doing the show, and it's going to be another 3-hour show.
What exactly is that?
This is the 7-Eleven Fusion Energy Coffee. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. You go into 7-Eleven. You know, you had the little coffee thing. You used to have regular coffee. Now they have like French vanilla and all these other ones.
Yeah, sure.
Now they have this one. It's like a yellow. It's a yellow color, almost like, you know, like the electrical like safety thing where it's all yellow and like dangerous. It's a yellow coffee pot, and it says Fusion Coffee. So this is coffee plus herbal extracts. It has guarana, ginseng, and yerba mate. So this is going to get me going tonight. I'm drinking this. It's a 24 ounces. They say this is very dangerous. So it says it can boost your energy and sharpen mental alertness. And the flavor is no different than regular coffee. So we'll see how I do tonight.
So it hides all the other herbs they have put in there.
It doesn't taste like normal coffee. It tastes kind of odd.
Yeah, well, let me do a few developments since our last show. Because I got to bring up the speed of what's gone on since our last show. Okay. First of all, the world has not snapped off its axis, and free society as we know it has not yet ceased to exist because people have begun paying for the show.
Yeah, I know. For all the people out there who were... You know, to them, the thought of a podcast existing that would charge money was like the end of the world.
Yeah. Now we have dozens. we literally have dozens of subscribers, which may not sound like a lot, but when you think about it, we have virtually done the promotional blitz.
We started from a dead standstill, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're doing very well so far.
Yeah.
And
we have $80.
$80.
Seriously, in all seriousness, we marketing is the key. Word of mouth is the key.
Exactly.
Grassroots approach. That's what we need from people out there doing that. You know.
Yeah, we need everyone to help out. If you have a blog, link to us on your blog. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone about the show.
Well, one other thing I want to bring up also, you know, for our wives are also so happy that we're doing this.
Oh, of course.
You know, it's always great, you know, when you go up to your wife and you say something like this. Sweetie, yeah, we decided to do a comedy podcast and spend some more time away from home. Another one of our crazy, harebrained, politically incorrect and offensive schemes is actually going to work this time. So you don't mind, right, darling love of mine? Yeah, wives love that. They love that kind of shit, right, Frank? They love that.
Yeah. That might work when you're 20, but when you're like 40, forget it.
Yeah, so that went over. That's going to run over real well in our households. So this has to work. I have to stay out of the house.
But this is interesting. I realized that when we launched the show last week, it was since the last time Anything But Monday existed as a company, it was 17 years, 2 months, and 18 days.
Yeah,
that was the span of time. So that was such a long time ago, right? the time that that was in between, you know, so that whole time in our lives when after since it failed in 1989 to now, it you can also say that that was 898 weeks, 150,912 hours, over 9 million minutes, and over 543 million seconds. So it's been a long time, but amazingly, did you ever think this was going to come back?
I don't think you take the time to actually calculate that. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, you know, it's a simple mathematical formula you can use, you know. God.
Why is the board off? Why is my stuff off?
No, it's not.
They want to hit you.
No, it's on. Try it. But it has to be, make that thing in the front.
It's in the front.
Let me see. Hit it.
More technology woes.
It's not in the front?
It is in the front. All right, whatever.
Hit it.
It doesn't matter.
Hit it.
It doesn't matter. This is not going to work today.
What's happening?
Frank, whatever.
No, click on the bar on top.
You just, ow.
See, that was the problem.
Oh, whatever. All right, let me go back to this.
And then we have to talk about the forum because you did promise $1 million to...
What did I say?
Can I read this to you?
Read the forum to me.
We are on the Anything But Monday forum.
Yeah, this is a new post, obviously.
Yes, this is on the premium forum because premium subscribers get to go on the premium forum.
Yeah.
And Neil from Ireland, known as Into Your Head on the forum, writes, as your first ever premium subscriber, according to a post by Frank elsewhere, yes, I verified he was the first, I've just remembered that Mad Mike, in the first show, proposed giving $1 million to the first member.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to say thanks. And then Matt Mason writes, does that mean that the third member gets $3 million? I'd support that. And Manny the Mailman writes, I think Mike said $1 a year for 1 million years. So
that
can you clear this up, Mike, please? This is a big issue on the forum here.
I'm going to be held to my word.
$1 a
first
year.
First of all, I thought it was $1 million or nothing. Zero to a million, our choice. Zero to $1 million, our choice. But one, I will hold true. I will be sending you $1 a year for the next 1 million years. I will. I'm doing it. Okay? I'm a man of my word. So for the next 1 million years, not only this life, but every lifetime I come back, I will seek you out, and I will come up with you. I will just pay you a dollar a year.
But by then, like with inflation, a dollar will be worth like.
Shh, don't tell him that.
It'll be worth nothing.
You know,
the whole million will be worth like 25 cents.
See, he's not going to have total recall like I will when I die.
That's true. That's true.
See, he's gonna forget totally after this lifetime. Whereas
Sorry, Neil.
Sorry, Neil. So anyway, yes, Neil from Ireland. That definitely he's doing $1 a year. What did I say for the next million years?
Yes.
Nope. Make a note. It will go out via FedEx.
$1.
The FedEx is going to cost 100 times more than the dollar.
To Neil.
$1 to Neil.
But you didn't say what year it starts.
It's another loophole. Get our lawyer in here.
There you go.
Another legal loophole. No, it'll start this year. This year it'll be taken care of. All right.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's been another crazy week in the Masters household. I want to tell you, speaking of our wives.
Yeah.
We've begun interviewing for potential nannies. This is a true story. Okay.
Yeah.
And this wouldn't be so bad. Okay.
Yeah.
If my wife weren't so insistent on hiring only Mary fucking Poppins, all right? So that's what she does. Nobody's good enough. It's got to be Mary Poppins. She's waiting. She's waiting for someone to float in with the umbrella. You know?
Yeah.
That. Yep.
So you want a Mary Poppins like?
That's what she wants. She wants Mary Poppins to come in here and whisk the kids away on Chitty Chitty Bang Bang someplace, you know, and take care of them like that.
And then they're going to go in the cartoon world?
I said, these people don't exist. I said, what do you want? Oh, I don't like her educational background. And she's a nanny. She's got to change diapers. You know, she's picking up after kids. What difference does it make? This is all week long. We're never going to find anybody. You know that. This person does not exist.
Now, would it be okay if they were... I know Mary Poppins is nigh omnipotent, but would it be okay if they had just general...
What did you just say?
She's nigh omnipotent.
What is that?
She has godlike powers, but would it be okay if the nanny... would it be okay if the nanny just
Frank,
had...
Shut up.
If they just had, like, bewitched powers that were not godlike but pretty powerful? Like, does she need some magic powers in the nanny or what?
I think that a flying umbrella is optional.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessary.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to do that. I'm going to fuck the shit out of her. Here, take that, Mary Poppins.
Wow.
Take this and that and this. Oh, God.
Enough of Mary Poppins.
Mary fucking Poppins.
So what do you think you're going to wind up with? Someone like that or someone different or what?
Well, it'll probably be some, you know, illegal alien or something like that. Doesn't speak any English and doesn't understand the monetary exchange rate. We can get away from nothing. You know,
yeah.
Virtually nothing. But anyway. Oh, then I realized that Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. Okay.
No, I thought no.
This past Wednesday was Ash Wednesday.
Yeah, because I saw people in New York walking around with like those little swastikas on their forehead.
Yes, that wonderfully mysterious Christian holiday when those of the Roman Catholic faith have burnt wood smeared on their foreheads by a priest.
Yeah.
And give up things for the next 40 days that we're not going to miss anyway over the next month and a half. Right.
Yeah.
So Frank, you were raised Catholic, right?
No.
You weren't?
I was not.
I thought you were. Frank, nor Italian. I thought you were raised Catholic.
My grandmother was.
Oh, she was.
Okay, so that's good.
So, what did you give up for Lent? This year, I'm going to tell you, this year, I turned over a new leaf. This year, for the next 40 days, I'm giving up murder, rape, pedophilia.
Really?
And also chocolate. So I'm giving up those four things.
Giving up those things for Lent.
There's always chocolate involved.
I'm trying to think what I could give up. Like something that I like that I could give up. Like,
what's wrong with murder, rape, pedophilia, and chocolate?
Could I give up? No, not the new iPod. Get out of here! No,
no, we got to give up something.
I'll give up. Not Google. I need Google. I can't think of what to give up.
It's got
to
be something you don't. You always give up something you don't care about for the next 40 days, right?
Yeah.
Well, anyway. I never understood these obscure rites and rituals growing up Catholic. Like when I was an altar boy, for instance, I was actually an altar boy. An altar boy one time. You know, why was it that I had to let the priest put his hands down the front of my pants when the mass was over? Did you ever have to do this in your parish?
Yeah, I don't know. No, I never went to there. I never went to the church.
I guess that explains why my family had him killed. I guess that's why. Oh, and then
that's a good one.
I wish that was a totally untrue story. Why is I going to hunt down these people now? That's not totally true, Mom and Dad, if they're listening. I just was choked. That's all the difference. I thought they do. They choke you instead, you know. So anyway, and then here's the best. The other day, all right.
Yeah,
I'm on the bike. I'm at the gym, and I'm watching. They have the sound off. It's late afternoon, and the Ellen Show comes on.
Elton?
Ellen.
Ellen.
As in Ellen DeGeneres,
yeah.
Right? So the Ellen Show comes on, right? And there's all this prancing and dancing, okay? All these men in the audience prancing and dancing around like a bunch of special needs children.
Yeah.
Right? All I got to say is you better be gay after this, all right? Because if you're not, then you should have your membership card to the Male Sex Revoked for that. You're on live television and you're dancing around like a fruitcake, these people. Don't they know people are watching? How do you explain it as a guy the next day if you do that? Oh, guys, I was on the Ellen Show, and I was dancing around in the beginning of the show with Ellen and the ladies in the audience.
You can just say, I was just doing it to pick up chicks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Quick reminder, just in case you had any doubts, this show is not, I repeat, not politically correct in any way, shape, or form. It may not be suitable for younger listeners and people with stiff rods shoved up their asses.
Yeah.
Okay, these politically correct people. So if there were any more serious, like we used to say, they'd be made of a mica. So anyway, so Frank.
Yes.
Say a little something, Frank. So talk a little bit about your week. You had some incidents happen to you this week.
Somehow I can never...
get through the week without an incident.
And there was just an incident just a few minutes ago. I've been working very hard on the show all week long, late nights,
mm-hmm.
and also my other show, which I'm still doing, the Overnightscape, on theovernightscape.com. So when I left home to come here, I forgot my wallet. So now I got to drive home, who knows, like 4 a.m. and not get pulled over by the cops.
What is so hard about doing that? Only you would get pulled over the cops at 4 a.m. driving
home. I haven't gotten, this is the whole thing, I haven't gotten pulled over in years, but I know just now that I don't have my driver's license with me, it's going to happen.
Mm, good.
That's one thing. But the other thing that happened was a little bit more potentially serious. You know how, Mike, you've brought up several times this rumor that I sort of destroyed our first company back in 1989?
Yeah, that's a good one. yeah, okay, yeah.
I have to say that I nearly destroyed it again.
Yeah, what happened? What do you mean? This is the first I'm hearing this.
This
is Frank. Mike, yeah. I have something I want to share on the show with you, but I want to surprise you. I don't want to tell you in advance, and I'm just going to hear about this now. What is this?
Well, you know, we've been in developing the show. We have our website, and we have all these different services. You know, we have like a PayPal, and we have our software to allow the premium membership, and then we have all these other things.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, we're developing everything. So I had this little notebook that I would write the different websites and some of the passwords and the logins and stuff just to keep track of everything. I had a little notebook that I was writing everything in. And that was sort of my anything but Monday show planning notebook. And I would, you know, I would bring it with me wherever I went. And, you know, when I went to work, I would stick it in my pocket of my coat, zip it up. You know, it was very, very secure and bring it to work and I could open it up and refer to it.
I see where this is going.
So a lot of our the websites and our username and passwords to all these different services were in this book. Okay.
What do you mean we're in this book?
Well, hold on. So
no, if it just stop. Just stop for a second. Just stop for a second.
What?
Okay?
What?
Just stop for a second.
What?
Okay? Stop.
Yes.
Stop.
Okay.
See, because right now I want the listeners to I want the listeners to know. Okay.
I didn't say anything yet.
This is not being contrived. This is not made up. This has not been rehearsed. I'm just finding about this right now, and this is how it used to be all the time. You know, there was always some other kind of disaster that would take us months to recover from. You had to sabotage it somehow. So continue.
Okay. So you know, like, and so every day I've been bringing this in, and you know, my winter coat, I would put it in my you know, one of the pockets as a zipper. You know, so you zip it up. So. So it was the other day. I don't know if it was like last Wednesday or Tuesday or something. I went to work. Of course, I work in New York City, so I take the bus every day to New York City. It's about like an hour's ride, you know, to commute over there.
Is getting somewhere,
and I get on the bus, and you know, I thought I had everything with me. You know, I have my gloves and all the stuff I have in my coat, all my, you know, candies and cigars, and that little notebook which has all our passwords and stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I as I'm walking off the bus. You know how sometimes you check and see things. I reached down to the pocket that the, and I just got off the bus and the door slams shut. You know, the thing drives away.
That was a great sound effect. And, did you cue that? That was great.
See, we don't even need sound effects. You know, and I reached down and that pocket, the right hand pocket, is unzipped, and I reach in, and there's nothing in there. I'm like,
asshole.
Holy crap! I mean, that's where I put that notebook. Look. So I reach in, and this notebook is not there, okay? This is where I keep it, going back and forth to work. And I'm standing there, you know, at the bus platform at the Port Authority bus terminal. And I'm like, holy crap. The notebook is gone. It's on the bus. I must have dropped it on the bus. Because, you know, when you get on the bus, you take your coat off. Because, you know, I'm like, oh, no. This can't happen. So I'm like, okay, wait a second. I probably left it at home. It's, you know, I take it out sometimes. And so I call my wife. Mm-hmm. And I use my cell phone to call my wife, Denise. I said, hey, Denise, can you please look? I really need you to check in the office. That is probably sitting right there on a desk, right? Like the little notebook. Mm-hmm. She goes in. She's like, there's no notebook. I'm like, just look around a little bit. She's looking around. She's like, there's no notebook here. It's gone. Okay? So I'm thinking to myself, God. This thing, who knows? Maybe I dropped it at the bus stop. Maybe I dropped it on the bus. It has all our passwords in there. Someone could just take that and like open everything up. So anyway, when I got to work, I went on the NewJerseyTransit.com on the lost and found, and you have to enter in all the information.
Just like your whole day.
describe the object. It's like, it's a black notebook with an elastic strap. My name is in it, and all this stuff. And meanwhile, I don't hear anything back from them. So finally, I go home, and I'm like, I was so like dejected. I'm like, this is the end. Someone's going to find it. I'm going to hack into our website, right? So I go and I look around my office, you know, my home studio, and I look around there, nothing. The thing is gone. So I sit down in the chair there, and I'm like, oh, crap, what am I going to do? I got to figure out all the websites we had. I'll change all the passwords. And then I look down on the ground, and I saw a bag on the ground. I lift up the bag, and there it is.
What bag?
I just had this,
You're carrying around every freaking major password we have in the world in a plastic...
Under the bag... was the book. So here it is. And I was like, yeah, here it is. So it was a disaster averted. There's all the passwords. There you go. I'm not carrying around this. As soon as I brought it to the studio just to show you, but I'm going to be locking this away in like a vault. You know?
What vault? Now we have a vault?
This is the Moleskine. Do you ever see the Moleskine? It's a very good notebook. That was a big scare. I know, I'm an idiot. That was a big scare. I'm sorry, Mike. I thought I almost destroyed the company again, but
thank you for not destroying the company again. So, fucking unbelievable. I thought that's unbelievable, man. I can't believe you did that.
All right.
Should we let people in on the ABM insult of the week?
Yes. What's the insult of the week?
The insult of the week is feel free to use this is only for our listeners. And you know what? The premium listeners are and the regular listeners are both with us right now, so anybody can use this. So please go out. This is the insult of the week. If someone pisses you off, what you just simply say to them is, "Go eat a pail of vaginal yeast."
That's pretty bad.
That is the insult of the week.
All right, coming up after...
You got a better one than that?
No. Okay, coming up after this brief musical interlude, we have... we talked about it last week. We're going to talk about this potential girl group also called Anything But Monday. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about an interesting picture we found and our button and all sorts of other great stuff.
Your button?
After this musical interlude. We're back.
Yeah, baby.
We're back. We're back. That was Noise is Therapy. All right.
Yeah.
So we got to get into this this girl group situation here.
Yeah. What else we have to make sure people know on the show today?
Yes.
We'll get to all these things in the show.
Yes.
There will be the analysis of many things.
Oh, that is coming up.
Many cool things that Frank is going to spring on me today that I am not even prepared to. I have no idea what he has.
Yeah.
Real Life Insanity, which is more of the amazingly true life adventures of Mike and Frank. Last week we talked a little bit about our college misadventures, and we might do one of those again. But yes. I have a great story that I have to tell that my friends reminded me of that I have to always bring up. It's a classic, legendary story of my brawl in a movie theater that I had.
Yes.
I was working in the movie theater, and it was, and of all things, I was breaking in an Iraqi kid on his first day on the job.
Really?
So I will share that story. It's a classic. We'll be doing your horoscope again. We will do weekly world perceptions and ponderings, more of the fucked up world we live in, and our first submit a bit feature.
Yes, the submit a bit has been successful. Someone has submitted a bit.
And let me clarify something,
yes,
by the way. This does not mean you send us pictures of your small pee-pees. All right? So don't do any more of that. Not necessary.
Yeah.
All right? So anyway, and we'll have an interview with Adam Peter, founder of and owner of FoundItemClothing.com.
Yes.
Later on, which is a great website. You'll check it out, FoundItemClothing.com. And some of Mike's brilliant ideas. And the view of our newest feature, inspired by something we did quite by accident last time that we had a huge response about, that we actually called, we've named the piece Piss Poor Movie Trailers. So we're going to find some piss poor movies that we found that Frank has located, and we're going to go over that. We're going to play the trailers
now,
for you.
I want to remind you, and first of all, some of you, those of you listening on the premium are going to hear all these things. Those of you who are listening on the free preview will be cut off soon. But anyway,
like now, turn the button on.
No. Right. We have to give them a little bit more.
All right.
But I just want to clarify. This is going to be. These have to be piss poor movie trailers.
I have no idea. But
I found a few that go a bit beyond. So yes, that's
right. So I'm looking forward to all the you know, all those things. You know, one of the things is that we have gotten several angry messages from the zombie community.
Okay. Really?
Because last week, if you remember, we kind of dissed on the zombie,
zombie
population, and made fun of people that believe in zombies. And I want to say I'm sorry. You know, we were contacted from PETS, better known as the People for the Ethical Treatment of Zombies.
PETS.
Yeah, and I will play. Just so you know, I actually had the recording of the guy who actually called in here, and I want to play it for you, so you have it. And because we said if we get bad feedback from a listener. Right? We said we'd play it on the air, so I'm just going to give you the feedback and, you know, play his live message for you. This is the message he left. He goes by the name of Big Daddy. He is the president of the People for the Ethical Treatment of Zombies, PETS, and this is what we had to say when he called our studio.
Wow.
Very upset.
Yeah.
He was very upset. So that was that was Frank's zombie soundboard that he's gotten. So we do everything. We've actually, just to make all the zombie people happy, zombie enthusiasts happy, we now have a zombie soundboard.
Yes, we actually bought zombie sound effects. We went online, found a place that sells zombie sound effects.
So we've actually used all the profits. This is a quarter of the profits of this company.
You can go
company.
To the website. It's called the zombie sound effects warehouse.com.
Is that what it really is?
No. I'm just kidding.
We actually, like I said, we actually spent a quarter of our profits on zombie sound effects.
Exactly.
Well spent money.
You know, I just saw that. I just turned on our Skype, and there we have a message. Someone sent us a message.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Okay, check. Okay. Let's see who might have sent us a message. There's one message in here.
Okay. Who's it from?
Who could it be? Let's see.
Bring it live on the air. We don't know who.
Yeah. We don't know. Let's check it out here.
Let's see what they have to say.
All right.
Hey, what's up? This is Frank, and I'm leaving the first message on the Anything But Monday Show phone line.
You're a fuck. That was your stupid message you left on there.
It was me. It was me. I didn't realize. Look at that. Stupid. So I'm the only person. Now listen, everyone. Please leave messages for us.
Yeah.
What's the number again?
It's Michael Jackson.
No.
Jack the Ripper.
1-800-MICHAEL-JACKSON.
Dinah Ross. Manuel Lewis and Bubbles.
The phone number is 973-685-6400.
Yeah, have some people call and leave some cool messages,
just
man.
Just call up that number and leave a message, and we'll play it on the show.
Again, toll free, yes. 973-684-6400.
It's not toll free.
685-6400? 685-6400, right? Toll free. Anywhere in the continental United States.
You can call that from anywhere. It's a regular.
Now, wouldn't it suck if you don't live in the continental United States? Everything sucks if you don't live in the continental United States, doesn't it?
If you live in Alaska or
Hawaii. It can't be bad if you live in Hawaii. You know, I just can't be. You know, but it's got to, you know, otherwise, you know, it's always a continental United States. Like, it's like, why do we even bother picking them up? They're excluded from everything, you know?
I know.
So.
They should just, you know, whatever, like connect them somehow. Can't we take over the Yukon to connect it all, or what do you think?
I don't think we should invade Canada, Frank. I think it'd be good for our name, good PR if we did that.
Do you think they really want the Yukon?
I don't think they really care. I don't really care. Oh God. Anyway, let's go. Next thing. Where are we?
The next thing is that we need to talk about this girl group.
Yeah,
let's Anything But Monday.
This is about as much press as they're going to get, because I'm so done with this group after
this. I believe I've done a lot of research. It's very hard to find information, but here is the backstory. A year ago, right, when we had our 20th anniversary, Mike came on my show and we did a little thing. That's actually what led to this whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. What we did last year.
Yeah.
So I thought, hey, you know, maybe it's a good idea to get anythingbutmonday.com.
Right.
Right. Because back then we didn't come up with the Anything But Monday show concept. It was just Anything But Monday.
Right.
So I go to get anythingbutmonday.com, and lo and behold, a few months earlier, someone had registered it.
Yeah.
Right. I found out it's this guy, Stephen Stone. So I emailed him. And I said, hey, we're Anything But Monday. We had this magazine and a radio show. We're going to be bringing it back. Like, do you really need this? Why did you even get anythingbutmonday.com? And the guy's like, I'm using it for this music project and, great minds think alike, whatever he said.
Yeah, great minds think alike. But coincidence. Yeah.
So, anyway.
don't die.
I'm feeling very.
He's strong.
Let me get some more of this fusion coffee. Or is it the coffee that's doing it to me?
He would ask me, what is the riddle of steel? If I don't know it, he would shout of Valhalla and laugh at me. That's strong in his mountain.
That is you, strong, Frank.
Yes, I'm very strong. So basically what happened was, as the year wore on, that year, 2006, was kind of a long year. It just sort of dragged on. I don't know what it was.
It was as long as a show.
It seemed to go on forever.
Go on.
And we found out that there was going to be a new reality show coming to Fox in the fall of 2006 called 30 Days Till I'm Famous. It's a reality show about different bands and how they developed and things like that. And one of the bands was a band called Anything But Monday.
Oh, go figure.
And it was a girl group, kind of like the Spice Girls. Five girls, like five international artists, like one girl from Argentina, the other girl's from South Africa, mm-hmm. another girl's like from New York, you know, so it's this whole thing. So when we saw this and it said it's premiering soon and they're going to have a record contract and all this stuff, we started getting a little bit concerned over this because, you know, it was the kind of thing where if they got to market first, it would be kind of people would perceive us as being this sort of like a fan of theirs, right?
Mm-hmm.
As if we did a show called The Spice Girls Podcast and we're like, no, we were the original Spice Girls, not them. You know, we would look like idiots. Okay.
So we had to rush this show into production just because we knew it was a race against time.
Yeah.
Well, what would come out first? The Anything But Monday podcast or 30 Days to Your Famous, right?
Yes. So basically, you know, I kept abreast of the situation and to see what was going on. And I kept searching the internet. And of course, the fall TV season came and there's no 30 Days Till I'm Famous. And if I have the notes here.
Well, have you heard of MTV?
Yes, I have. We'll be talking about MTV a little bit later.
Yeah.
Talk for a second while I try to find my notes here.
I thought you said you had all the research ready to go.
It is.
On
it
this
is.
Girl band.
No, no, hold on. I got it. Yeah. Here it is. Finally, I found... Because the fall TV season came along, and there was no show with anything but Monday, 30 Days Till I'm Famous.
Right.
So finally, I find a listing, and it's very hard to find information about this. Hold on a second.
Even harder if you're not ready with the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Frank, I'll just sit here while you, as you do this to come up with this whole thing. Right? How do you,
I'm 30 Days Till I'm Famous, which is the name of that show, is now listed under on hold shows that have either been shelved or being used as a mid-season backup. So it looks like this show, 30 Days Till I'm Famous, has been shelved by Fox. Okay, I'm not sure what that means. I don't know if they're ever coming out again. But the Anything But Monday group, they don't have a website. If you go to anythingbutmonday.com, there's nothing there, yeah. Right?
Beat it.
So I've been trying to do research on this. And what I wound up doing is I wound up finding the MySpace pages of the actual members of the fake Anything But Monday group.
Yeah.
And I found this. Check this out, Mike.
Let me see.
This is on...
Look at this.
There they are. This is on one of the group members' pages. I think it's maybe Nayer's page.
And they have the nerve to yes. use ABM, like in capital letters, just like us, ABM exclamation point.
Yeah.
No makeup. Ha ha. Right.
Yeah.
All the girl, they're all touting yes. the fact they have no makeup on. And I tell you, they should have the makeup
the
on.
Members of the group are Jenna, Nella, Canella, I guess, Lisa, Nayer, and whoever that is,
and me,
whatever, whoever she is, and this is the piece of research that had the most information, because Canella just posted just the other day on February 21st,
yes.
2 days ago, she referring to this picture said, "Aw, back in the good old days when we thought we were gonna be stars, LOL." So I'm assuming that they realize now that it's over.
Yeah.
So we may never have to, there may never be an Anything But Monday girl group.
Yeah.
We thought there was going to be. So no, I think what we're going to have to do is, if that indeed is true, we're going to have to like try to get them on the show.
Yeah.
The girls who almost were Anything But Monday.
Yeah, this is what they all they care about is the money, man. That's all they did this for. That's all they did it for.
Money is the root of all evil.
Yes, yeah. It is.
They should never, you know, that's what happens. You do it for the money, you go down.
Yeah.
I want to get the producer on. I still want to know how he found out our name.
Well, you know, if the whole thing is like collapsed, because I don't know, they were going to show it in Europe and they were going to show it in South America. So who knows what's going to happen?
It'll be trademark infringements because I have it set up. What is that noise?
Oh, it's Angie from Anything But Monday.
Can you hear it? Let's hear.
It's pretty good.
Ooh.
This is her solo work after Anything But Monday.
Let her. Stop the game clock.
Wow. See, on MySpace, the music comes on automatically.
Sick children.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay. All right, enough. Scratch
my eyes out with that.
It won't stop.
We'll get a zombie on her.
That was a total accident, but yeah.
Can we get a zombie on her?
Yeah, get her. Hold on.
This now.
I thought you were going to do the zombies on it.
Okay. I just did the zombies already. Here. Here's some more zombie work for you. Okay.
Get her. She's getting away. She's getting away.
I can't do it. She's using her powers to stop me.
Get
from her. I can't. My zombie powers are useless. It's a glitch.
What happened to your zombie effect?
I can't.
Click on the bar on top.
What bar?
Click on the... Yeah, now you got it. All right, here we go.
All right, now let's go. All right, slaughter her.
Oh, there she is dying.
Died way before.
All right, great.
Oh, my God, man.
So anyway, that is your update.
Why does every girl band sound that same way?
I don't know.
They're always moaning and writhing and doing all these kind of things. They're very suggestive.
Well, that's what they do.
I don't approve of these things whatsoever.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So here, I want to say we have a brand new thing. It is the button, right?
Oh, tell people about the button.
Okay. This is straight from Japan.
Yeah.
All right. Tokyo. I'm gonna put a picture of this online. This is a little button like you might see on like
Frank, could you please people explain to people who may not be aware of this?
Yes.
Where exactly is Japan? Are you talking about when you're talking about Japan?
Japan is with the animation. It's a country. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where exactly is Japan located?
In the Indian Ocean. What? It's not the Indian Ocean?
That's not the...
No?
What is the approximate population of Japan, Frank?
54,000.
How many people...
What?
How many Japanese people are in Japan, Frank?
All right, I got it ready. Japanese people, about 100,000.
Correct. The answer is all of them, Frank.
Oh,
all
okay.
Right, go ahead. So go on.
Anyway, we have this button here. Now, just imagine, and I'll put this picture online. Imagine someone has like a nuclear bomb, and they have this special button, like to press to turn it on. That's what we have here. We have this button.
So let's say all of a sudden one day you're sitting around minding your own business.
Yeah.
And the zombies show up.
Yeah.
And they're swarming on you. And they're walking.
Click the bar.
Walking towards.
Click the bar.
Oh, fucking forget it.
Click the bar.
It's already done. Forget it. Go on. Go on.
So we have this button, and
one day I do aspire to be the technical genius. I'm gonna have a guy just can sit there, you know, with the 40,000 fucking sound effects, and just push the right goddamn button.
Just click the damn bar, and you'll get
it's
it.
All right.
You're clicking off it, and it's turning it off.
I'm not clicking. All right. Go on.
All right. Anyway, so this is a button. Like you'd have on a nuclear device or like on a fail-safe mechanism, and so this is what we're going to be using now to kick you people off of the stream. A lot of you are listening for free on the free preview right now, and we're already about 40 minutes into the show.
This is way and whoa, ho.
We just have one more thing to get to before we press the button. But the button, you're going to look at the picture online. This is our new button, and
you're going to miss all the good shit.
Yeah, all the good stuff is coming up. So.
For those of you who are wondering, okay,
yeah.
We purposely had the first 40 minutes of the show be like shit today. To save all the
fusion coffee, the candle is stimulating us. The fusion coffee is just kicking in. The show is going to get great after we push the button.
Go ahead. But the zombie's over, Frank.
Yeah, I did. But I did want to get to another issue right just before we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 1980s. Before our company collapsed, which you claim was my fault, we actually worked for MTV. In that they had a new magazine called MTV To Go.
We talked about this a little bit.
So just describe what are your thoughts on that? Like what was MTV To Go in general?
It was a horrid attempt at entertainment.
All yeah.
Right? So this is the bright idea. I touched on it, then you cut me off last show, and we didn't get to what it is. But like back,
I will not cut you off again. I guarantee
when they had
it.
Those record clubs.
Yes.
Back then, the days you used to get those catalogs.
Yeah.
They think, well, here's a bright idea. We'll combine an entertainment magazine with a record club catalog, so people could page through it, order records.
Yeah.
When they had records, and order at the same time, get some entertainment.
It was like 15 LPs for a penny, right?
Right.
It was like this whole, you got like these crazy deals. And then what happened is they would start sending you crap in the mail.
Thomas Edison is turning over his grave over that one.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Because you thought it was a good deal. You got 15 CDs for a penny, but then like every month they would send you like 2-3 CDs, and you had to send it back with a form or else you got charged for it, right? It was like a real kind of a scam.
It was a whole scam because it cost them like 5 cents to make it. You know, it was ridiculous. So anyway. For some reason, they recruited us because we were going to do the entertainment section of the magazine, the humor section
called the Funny Farm.
The Funny Farm, right?
And
which is a genius, of course, name.
Yeah.
And this is a true story.
Yeah.
Back to our adventures.
Yeah.
The board meeting. We actually had to go to a board meeting. So, of course, Frank and I back in the day, I'm there with my long, as you can see the pictures of me on the site, of this long, you know, mullet cut Bon Jovi hair, and I'm like, you know, this muscle head Guido from New Jersey, and I'm wearing like this show jeans, and I don't know, some offensive t-shirt, which I always wore, and Frank, of course, looks like, I don't know, God knows what at the time. You can look at his pictures, you know, and he's of course wearing his long coat that he always wears so he can just take stuff and put it under his coat and rob wherever he goes, envelop it in his coat.
Usually I just like take like food. I wouldn't really steal objects.
Right. So we get there, and of course we're loving this because it's a gigantic boardroom. Picture a big boardroom, and everybody in there is like Indian. You know?
Well, this was, I think, at the Bertelsmann Music Group. It was like the company that did those music clubs.
Okay,
it was like a very
go to sit down and talk about ideas now.
It was a very official building. It was like it wasn't the MTV, but it was like the corporate headquarters of this German mega corporation.
But it's a German mega corporation full of Indians.
Go
figure that out. You know.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there and we're like, you know, everybody's real serious and they're like, you know,
we have done the market research and determined
that
MTV has a good demographic. We're going to work with them to make our magazine.
And meanwhile,
they call it the Magalog.
And meanwhile, everybody's sitting there listening. And what are Frank and I doing? We're chowing at the buffet. I'm like bagels and like fruit salad, and like, you know, Frank, we're grabbing stuff, we're like eating it like pigs the whole time, not paying any attention to what they're saying.
Yeah.
And the idea is they were going around the room from person to person to talk about what they're going to contribute to the magazine, right?
Yeah.
So they get to me, and I'm a spokesperson for me and Frank. Because Frank can't talk, he's got like a whole bagel in his mouth. And they get to me and they go, okay, what exactly are you going to be doing for this magazine? And of course, I'm thinking we're so hilarious. I'm reading all this. Get the crickets ready. I'm reading all these different things that we've done, thinking this is funny. So I'd read like, ever notice this? And all of a sudden you hear... Every time I would say something, there'd be no response. It'd be like the crickets gone. I'm like, all right, fine.
They were just sitting there with their hands folded looking
like, yeah,
at
yeah,
us.
Yeah, great. Didn't get it at all. I said, keep in mind, this is a magazine for youths, not you, okay? So they didn't get it. And needless to say, after that meeting, they unceremoniously wanted to change Frank and R's names. So they changed our names. And anything we put in there,
the word came down that they like get rid of those guys. And so the guy that edited, this guy Mark Robert, he helped us out. He changed our names for a little while, and for a few more issues we were in there. I actually found my old back issues of that, and some of the stuff we put in there was pretty funny. But then they replaced it with like interviews with like funny people like Sam Kinison and all that. It was from like 1989 and 1990
before these people were famous,
like Emo Phillips and all these like obscure
Carrot Top,
all these people.
All the Greek, the unknown comic.
Yeah.
All the great genius of comedy from back in the 80s.
Yeah. So, but now the thing is, before, on the launch of the magazine, the very first issue came out, we were invited to the launch party. And this was actually real official launch party. It was in some sort of a club or something, like a nightclub. Do you remember about this? Because I have some vague memories of this.
Was it Club the Limelight in New York?
Maybe it was at the Limelight.
I'm not sure, but it was a club. I remember this one. I met this really hot woman there. That's what I remember one time. You know, and after I met her, I was enthralled sitting there with her the whole night. Of course, she blew me off and nothing to do with me after the night was over.
Yeah.
But I remember that. I remember Gilbert Gottfried.
Do you remember our encounter with Gilbert Gottfried?
I remember
what happened.
All I remember is like just ripping on the guy, making fun of him.
Yeah.
You know, because the poor guy was hapless.
The guy was there. I remember
no bodyguard, no protection, and we descend on him.
He was wearing some sort of a burgundy velvet
trying to be funny. Smoking jacket.
Yeah, a smoking jacket. So he's there. He's like very short. He looks like all miserable. He's like sitting there. He's this miserable look on his face.
So he's miserable back then.
And we're like, hey. Yeah, we're writers in the magazine too. So he's like, oh yeah. Well, yeah, but, and then I remember saying to him like, yeah, but our stuff is more funnier than yours, right? Yeah, right. No, but Gilbert, like our stuff is good, right? But ours is better than yours, right? Yeah. And then he's like walks away. I was being like a total asshole, you know?
Yeah. At that point. Something's never changed.
But then something else happened. I was a jerk back then. And
what happened, Frank? We've gotten better. We've gotten better, obviously, since that time.
There was a magazine called Sassy.
Sassy?
And I think it's gone by now. I don't know if it's still around. But back then, it was like the big new magazine.
Right.
So like, I went up to they had a booth or something, the Sassy. So I went up to them, and I guess like the editor-in-chief was there.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, what is this? Another one of these stupid like girly magazines that sucks. She's like, Sassy. Like I just started being a total asshole to everyone.
And then you punched her in the head and ran away.
Yeah, so I was making a bad impression. But we were at this party and meeting all these famous people. And Mike, you met this, and you said you met a girl there.
There was a woman that worked for MTV. She was like a gorgeous blonde, gorgeous. And then, of course, she's like, what do you do? And I was like, oh, we have my own magazine, my own comic book kind of magazine. And, I drive an old Buick. And, needless to say, I wasn't getting very far after that encounter. So that was the end of that.
So, you know, we have vague memories of this, but there was a photographer that worked for the MTV magazine named Cleveland Stores. I'll never forget that name, Cleveland Stores. He was a guy from England.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, guys, yeah, let me take a picture. Yeah, and he snaps a picture, right? A flash picture. And
am I going to see this picture?
Yes. Don't look yet. Okay. So it was his picture. He had the picture. And I think it was a few months later, after we were fired from the magazine, I went into the offices and I saw Cleveland there. And I said, hey, Cleveland. Do you have like any of the like that picture that you took of us? I said, oh, let me check. And he opens his filing cabinet. Oh yeah, here it is. It was a little slide, right?
Yeah, right.
And I guess back in like I have a reference here. I must have kept that slide. And back in like 1996, I was working in the printing industry, and I scanned the slide in on like a slide scanner.
Right, right.
So I recently I checked on my computer.
Who gets to see this picture?
Well, let me show you. First of all, let me show you the picture. This is a picture of us at that party. So imagine me being an asshole to Gilbert Gottfried and the editor-in-chief of Sassy Magazine. When you connect it to the way I looked back then, I'm looking at this picture right now.
How did you get in that place?
I'm serious. I think this is the worst picture ever taken of me.
Frank, come on. No, there's a lot of bad pictures taken of you.
No, there have been.
Let me see the picture.
I'm not especially photogenic, but here we go.
Let me see.
This is me and Mike. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Look at it. Can you just describe that picture, please?
Oh, my God.
Describe the picture.
You look like a prepubescent gay alternative rock singer. Look at me. Oh, my God. Look at me.
This is a horrible picture.
What? You got to be kidding. That's how I was dressed. Look at my hairy arms.
You see how I have an Anything But Monday magazine sweatshirt on.
This is classic material.
Okay. I have long hair. And my ears are sticking out. I have it like tucked behind my ears. Long hair going like over my shoulders.
Huge acne on your face.
I have acne on my face, and my face is like all shiny. And my ear is sticking up with like my weird pointed ear, and I just look like a friggin'. I don't even know what I look like.
You're a freak.
I look like a freak. And you're there with your big arm. We're both have our arms folded in front of us, but. You have like your big arms there, and what's the kind of shirt is that you're wearing?
Oh, that's a bowling shirt or something. It's not a bowling shirt. It's one of those Guido one of those places that sold those Guido clothing in the mall.
Oh, okay.
It was definitely
Chess King or something. Chess King.
I swear to God, that's a Chess King shirt.
Really? You bought it at Chess King?
It's a white striped shirt. It's black and white. It's Chess King. Oh my God, look at that picture. That's one for the site, right? People are going to get to see that picture right now?
Not everyone. This picture is very rare, and it was sitting on my hard drive.
Well, let me ask you a question, something.
Yeah.
Couldn't a premium member just take it and, like, get it and then copy it?
This is the thing. Only premium members will be able to see this picture. If you log into the premium page, you will see the picture there. I'm going to be putting it on there. Only premium members. It's copyrighted. You cannot copy it. Do not post it anywhere else.
It's going to be open to all over the internet.
Listen, I'm very embarrassed. Legitimately, I'm very embarrassed by this picture. I don't think that I really look like that.
Ew, it could be you, but it's like you're like 80 pounds lighter in that picture besides, too.
I was.
You know?
Yeah, when my wife saw that picture, she was like, "What the hell?" She's like, "Wow, you actually."
I got to get a copy of that picture.
You got better looking as you got older, because.
That's a nice thing to say.
Words cannot describe this picture. So only premium members, when you log into your premium page, you will see this picture.
Okay,
it'll be there. It'll be like a little tiny form.
Is there any added incentive before we dump the rest of these people that are not premium listeners right now?
Well, when you sign up for the premium membership, go to the abmshow.com, click on premium subscription, and you will get access to the full show, because we're going to be cutting you off.
And let's read this. Yes. Just so you know, yes. I'll do this too before, again, we keep saying we're going to cut people. Listen to this. This is something from an actual premium listener.
Yes.
I want to acknowledge our premium listeners, but this is an email. I'm not going to read the whole email. There's a little thing that we got from one of our premium listeners.
Yeah.
Jason in New Jersey, one of our top five premium listeners, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he said, "Hello, Frank and Mike. I downloaded your show onto my internet tablet and listened to your show on a flight from New Jersey to Florida. From Florida, and I'm pleased to report that thanks to your show, my flight went by an incredible 27% faster."
Really? 27% faster?
He said, "Perceptionally," he said, "time didn't actually speed up, to my knowledge, although we actually landed a half an hour before we were scheduled. Somehow, listening to the show warped the time continuum, and he got a half hour ahead of time."
That's great.
"On an airplane." When does that ever happen, by the way? "Okay, actually, I just wanted to say congrats on your first episode in 21 years. Thank you, Mike, for acting as a good counterbalance and playing the Lennon to his McCartney. I am
Lennon?
Lennon.
Who gets to be Lennon?
He said, "Mike, for acting as a good counterbalance and playing Lennon to his McCartney." So you're McCartney.
I want to be Lennon.
Okay, you're Lennon. I am somebody who's presented.
I would be the Lennon.
Okay, I am somebody who's presented with. This is the key line right here.
Okay.
"I am somebody who's presented with many competing forms of entertainment, from satellite radio, Rhapsody, to the countless hours recorded on my DVR. It is worth it to pay for something that has been distilled into something that was solidly entertaining without too much filler. It's safer and cheaper than smoking. Because seriously, though, I'm looking forward to episode 2. Keep up the good work. And please send out a shout out to all my homies. But I've actually done better than that for you, Jason, in New Jersey. Because right now, okay, just to let you know, a beautiful prostitute has been dispatched to your house."
Oh, really?
"And en route to sit on your face, okay? And the ABM show is picking up the tab, so go brush your teeth. All right? So I just want to let you know that's happening as we speak.
Yes, so people have signed up. People are enjoying this. And
Wait a minute.
What?
It's as we speak, right?
Yeah.
Fuck, I keep forgetting there's a delay. The show's not out until Monday. He's going to go there and, you know, probably end up sleeping with his father or something.
Oh, so they're there right now. Oh, man.
He's probably end up sleeping with his father or something like that. For
yeah.
I tried. We are picking up the tab. So if she comes there demanding money, we've taken care of the prostitute for you. Frank, please get rid of the freeloaders right now.
Okay. You people listening on the free feed, you're going to be cut off now. Everyone that has a premium subscription will continue on. I am turning on button switch number one. Here we go.
Yes.
All right. Now we got to do switch number two. All right. And now we have the keys. Actually have keys here, turning the keys. This is an actual button here. And I'm turning the keys. It's armed. Here we go. I'm lifting the plastic switch.
And I will push the button.
Push the button. Here we go. All right. All right. We got rid of him. This is an actual button, by the way,
everyone.
Feels
lighter already.
Whew. All right. So
we'll take a little break and musically here. And we'll be back with a lot of great features, as we had promised you. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk that great story I thought I was going to tell you about my movie theater brawl.
Yeah, the movie theater brawl coming up after this musical break. Mm-hmm. We're back.
All right. Were you waiting for me to say something?
No, I was going to say something.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Premium members only. To the premium subscribers only.
Ending a Monday show.
Yes.
A show that is going to be sweeping the country by storm as we speak. So anyway, I want to go into our little feature we like to call the Amazingly True Life Adventures of Mike and Frank, or Real Life Insanity. This is stuff that actually has happened to us.
Actual events.
I actually have pages of that stuff, of things that Frank and I were involved in. But this story was actually a story that happened while I was at school, but at home on Christmas break, and while working in a movie theater. Now, I have to tell a story because this is a classic story. It may not be too, I don't know if it's too humorous. Maybe it is, but I
will. Now, how old were you at that point?
Well, let's see. I had to be around the same time. When we were doing Anything of Money, I had to be 20.
About 20.
You know,
you're in college. 20, it was, what year? It was like 1987, 88.
I can tell you the movie Out of Africa was out.
Yeah.
So if you want a bizarre movie reference, because that's how all the problems started, was the movie Out of Africa. I was working in Lowe's Theaters. There was a Lowe's Theaters.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, mind you, back then, There was only basically six theaters was a big theater.
Yeah.
So this was a sixplex. Okay. They didn't have 40 plexes back then. They had a sixplex at the time. But basically what I was an usher. I was actually the chief of staff of ushers.
So really? You were the chief usher?
Chief usher. I was in charge of changing. Yeah. I was changing the ushers.
1985 Out of Africa came
out. That was 85?
That's what it says here.
All right. Yeah. So then it was 85.
Yeah.
Then it was 85, borderline 85, 86.
Yeah.
So I was like, what was I? I was 19.
All right. Yeah.
So I was 19 years old. And basically, you know, we were, you know, it was, let me set the scene up. So basically, I'm here. It was a weekday night on Christmas break. All right, so not that many people actually go to the movies on a weekday night. But this particular night was very unique in that there was a very bad snowstorm that was happening. It started that night. So nobody showed up to work. Why anybody was going to the movie theater that night, I don't know. But it turns out that night I'm breaking in two new hires, okay? One of them is an Iraqi kid. I swear to God, it's a true story.
An Iraqi kid?
This kid's fresh off the boat from Iraq.
Really?
He's all of 80 pounds. All right, can barely speak English, and I have to train this kid to be an usher. You know, he can barely learn how to sweep up popcorn, and I have to train him what to do. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm, of course, you know, we have a skeleton crew going on in the place. There's snow piling up outside. It's a snowstorm. There's like about 80 people in this entire gigantic cinema. Right? I'm walking these two kids around. And I'm going, and as I say kids, because I was 19, they had to be 16, maybe.
Really?
Right? Their mommies dropped them off for work. Okay. That's how young they were. So I'm walking around the place. And I'm telling them, you know, this is how you handle this, this is how you handle that, you know, and not on cue. All right. A woman burst out of Africa. Okay. This woman is quiet there. This is a very quiet, serious movie. Burst out. Okay. Some people, she's like, some kids, you know, just broke into the theater and they're making all kinds of noise. You have to handle them. So I'm like, okay, guys, this is how you handle, right? This is how you handle this situation properly when something like this happens, right? So little did I know what I was about to confront. Okay. So I go in the dark with my little flashlight down the aisles. It's a 500 seat theater. There's four people in it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Three of them happen to be like these hoodlums that have broken into the theater. Why out of Africa? I don't know. It's like a 5-hour movie of utter boredom.
Meryl Streep and Robert Redford.
Yeah, and all seniors and all these drooling senior citizens, right?
Yeah.
So I go in there and I tap these kids on the shoulder and I pull them out of the theater. No sooner did I bring them into the lobby, all right, that I'm surrounded. They make a circle around me, you know, and I'm saying, look, guys, you just got to go, you know, and they started getting really, and they were like, they're Hispanic. Okay.
Yeah.
They're Hispanic. I'm gonna say they're Hispanic.
Yeah.
But they were Hispanic and they look at me in the face and they're all about, I'm pretty tall, big guy at that point. They're all about 5'5". Okay. Yeah. But there's three of them and they immediately put a circle around me. My two officers are standing off watching me, how I'm going to handle the situation. And I go, it's time for you to go. We have to leave. You can't break in. I just wanted to get him out of the theater, right?
Yeah.
Where do they go? We're fucking Puerto Rican. We're not impressed with you. They put their finger in my face.
Wow.
I go, I'm fucking Italian. I'm not impressed with you either, right? So I push past them to go to open the doors, let them out of the theater. All of a sudden, I get cold cocked. Literally, I get cold cocked. I'm standing there, and I feel this on the side of my head. Oh, right on the side of right, wow. Right? I just get out of nowhere. This little punk cheap shots me, and I lose it. I go berserk, right? Flailing, throwing punches, you know. And I'm flailing, and all of a sudden, you know, two other of these guys appear out of nowhere. Like they must have went to the canyon. I didn't know. I have five guys now joining the fray. Okay, now if you notice, back in the day, they had those little tents about those barriers, right? Those little ropes. Velvet ropes, so that we're in a roped off section. So we're like we're in a ring now. It's formed a nice little boxing ring that we're in the middle of right now. So I got guys jumping on me. You know, I'm standing there. Help! Help! Somebody get some help! Right. And all of a sudden, you know, I said, the Iraqi kid, right?
Yeah.
I look to my left. I got this kid on my back, you know, and I look to my left. This Iraqi kid, you think he set off a roadside bomb or something to help me out? Nothing. Yeah. You know what he is? He's on his knees praying to Mecca, okay? when they're hitting him in the head with the butt of a knife. I swear to God.
A butt of a knife?
They're like drubbing. Wow. They're cracking his skull. They're like on his skull.
Wow.
Like it's like a freaking like walnut. And like, ugh.
Wow!
Right, so I'm watching this kid get drubbed. Right,
wow!
And at that time, I just haul off and punch this kid that's coming at me. Right, and I hit him square in the nose. And it's one of those punches you're never going to hit in a million years. His nose just explodes and blood just goes all. It's like I hit him in the face. And it's just and you look. It's like the Rocky movies in slow motion. And I hit him in the nose. And I'm covered with blood. Like the blood sprays all over my jacket and my shirt. And this kid goes down, man. Like freaking like a thud on the ground, right? So and I'm all pumped up and fired up right now. So I'm going on the warpath and I'm saying, somebody get some help. The candy stand manager is standing back there. No, guys, stay out of this. Don't get involved. I mean, don't get involved. You know, don't get involved. It's me, this Iraqi kid getting killed, right? And don't get involved, right? So on cue, another kid comes up to me that this kid's lying on the ground. He tries to jump on me and I lose my balance and I fall into the fire extinguisher. So there's the glass windows.
Yeah.
I go crashing into the fire extinguisher and shatter the glass with him on my back. Right. So all this is going on and people are watching like they're like eating popcorn and watching me like this is the best spectacle, better than Out of Africa could ever possibly be. Right. So we're brawling. It seems like it's forever. Like, and then all of a sudden another usher runs up from the front of the theater, all in the front of the theater. He's like, Mike, what's going on? What should I do? I was like, just get out of here. Go get help. As I'm pointing to go get help, out of the corner of my eye, the guy that I punched down on the ground gets up, runs past me, and with all his might leaps and hits the other kid, hits the usher in the face like that, right? And he, right in the nose. And his nose just goes boo and blood everywhere. Man. So I got this guy's blood on me. This kid's blood. He just broke the usher's nose, right? He's like, oh, my face. He's on the floor bleeding. It's like the worst horror story ever. I'm like, where is my help? And of course, my program director, you know, and a friend back then, Dave Crump, who was supposed to work that night, didn't come in because of the snow, you know, who could have been a big help to me, you know. So anyway, this all's going on. And by some miracle, okay, it turned out that I went to go open the back door that night. It left open a little bit. You know, there's one-way doors, so you can't get in from the outside unless someone holds them open for you. But by some miracle, the door was open a crack. And what was happening was a police cruiser came up the back. It was two detectives. They were off-duty detectives from the town, right?
Yeah.
And they see what's going on. They run up through the snow, and the snow's like knee-deep, right? They come in. I think, oh, great, the cops are here, right? What do these kids do? They jump on the cops.
Really?
Because I found out later they're all on mesk. They're all on mescaline.
They're on mescaline?
Right? They're all drugged up. And I'm like, oh, this is... They just leap on the cop. Okay?
Wow.
Break one of the cop's fingers. Now, you don't want to break a detective's, off-duty detective's finger, right? Next thing I know, they got their knees in their heads. They're handcuffing them all. You know, I'm surprised they didn't pull a gun on them. They round us all up. They break up the whole thing. It looks like a war zone. There's glass. I got blood all over me. But like the good Guido that I was at the time, I had a nice crucifix ring on. The crucifix ring is like embedded in my hand because if I'm hitting these people's skulls, right?
Oh, man.
And I'm like, I'm covered with everybody's blood. There's people laid out all over the place. There's paramedics coming in because this Iraqi kid has got bandages around his head now. You know, and I'm like, what a nightmare. They drag us all down to the police station in the middle of a blizzard. They go take our statements and everything else, you know, and it was just a disaster. The whole thing, you know, that was the whole thing. And of course, I became a legend in the theater after that because I took on five Puerto Rican ruffians.
On mescaline. You know,
on mescaline.
Wow.
And saved them and saved people from getting out of Africa being ruined for their night. So that was my show, my story. True story, every bit of it. Not embellished at all. That actually really happened to me.
Wow.
What do you think about that story?
And what was the... So were you injured at all in the whole thing?
My hand was all cut up from hitting these kids in the head, but I lucked out. I didn't really get... You know, I fell into the glass of the fire extinguisher, but I didn't get cut or anything. You know, everybody else was really bad. Like, the other kid didn't come back to work the next day. Go figure. He never came back. So, went back to Iraq, and he probably became a suicide bomber as a result.
No, was there any, like, repercussions? Were you scared the kids were going to come back?
I don't think that. You know what happened?
Did they get arrested? What happened?
As the mescaline wore off, we're all sitting in, like, chairs. You know, the classic police, you know, desks. Like, we're all at a different desk, and the guys at a typewriter, like, typing our reports. And the kid that I punched a few times, and then he goes, he's like, what are you, Spanish? You know, he asked me what kind of nationality it was. And the cop's like, you don't talk to him! Because he's all mad, because he's like, you know, he's one of the guys all upset from this whole thing.
Now, did I know you at this point? Like, what happened? Like,
I don't know, man. I don't know if you did.
85. Like, so wait, would you have been working there? Was it a summer job, or was it a...
Frank, I just said it was snowing. Right? It wasn't a summer job. It wasn't snowing, you know.
Well, it could have been in the Southern Hemisphere. Then it would be snowing in the summer.
When have I ever been in the Southern Hemisphere? When?
Yesterday.
Was I?
I think so. Didn't you call me to say you were in Tierra del Fuego the other day?
No. Yes, I was. I admit I was in Tierra del Fuego. All right.
So it was winter. So do you think it was later in the year? Early
it was
in the
Christmas.
Year?
It was 85 and 86. It was like.
So I knew you somewhat.
I guess.
It was before the Anything But Monday radio show, yes. But we did know each other.
Right. And I recovered my injuries fully in time for the premiere of our first show at that point. But that really was the true story. True story.
I see you're playing around with your little, lick your wounds there.
My wound candy. But anyway, that's a perfect segue into our next spot.
Which Chew is?
Frank Dora. Now.
What? What's our next spot?
Are you helping me at all with the show today?
What is our next spot? This? A musical interlude?
I really think that people really wanted to hear about these piss poor movie trailers you found. So I don't want to keep these people in suspense any longer. Why is there stripping music going on to lead to this whole thing? Well,
there is a reason. You'll see.
Oh yeah.
After the break.
Thank you.
All right, we're back. We're back.
Frank, master of the airways.
Yeah.
So that moniker implies you know what the hell you're doing when it comes to these.
Well, I guess. Frank,
do I know what's going on with computers?
No.
I don't even know what a fucking podcast.
Podcast?
I don't know what a podcast was up until about a year ago. Did I?
I don't. No. Nothing. No.
You know, now I'm here. I'm on the internet, and I'm calling up soundboards, and I'm got zombie noises at my fingertips. Listen, you know, see. So yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
So earlier today, you said you wanted to find some like really piss poor movie trailers, and I found some. You know, kind of let me just play like one of the more normal ones I found.
Okay.
You know, and then I'll get to some of the other ones I found.
So what movie trailer, do I get to watch this trailer with you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we're gonna look at this trailer, and we're going to see what piss poor movie trailer.
No, what you want to do? You want to see the really bad one or the
I don't care. Just give me any one. I want to see what you come up with. So let's see what you got.
All right, hold on. Just give me a second. I am the master of the airwaves. So we can...
Just, you know.
Well, this is like your standard bad movie trailer.
Okay, let me see.
Hold on. We're gonna bring it up.
Can I see it?
Yeah.
Well, show it to me.
There it is.
Here it is.
Ooh, hold on. The music's still playing. Here we go.
Let's see.
There it is. It's going to be on a little screen here. Coming up in a moment.
Coming up in T-minus 20 seconds.
From the frozen glacial world, unchanged in a million years, released from icy bondage, comes unknown, indescribable, paralyzing terror. It's a giant praying mantis.
To engulf the world.
Where are they? Where are the bodies?
Easy. In all the kingdom of the living, there is no more deadly or voracious creature than the praying mantis.
The deadly mantis. It's flying in the air.
Drive it out to sea. I hope so. Every device of military science, every defensive weapon,
the military police again,
marshaled to destroy 1,000 tons of beastly fuel. A monster leaving a trail of carnage,
it's like such
spreading
a
panic across
like
the continent.
He's dropped a big clip. Why is it an air raid siren?
The giant praying mantis that goes.
They have a flamethrower, obviously.
Just like the last one, there was a flamethrower.
Nothing in its path was safe. Not the planes in the sky. Not the ships at sea.
Mamma mia!
Nor the vehicles on the ground.
Mamma mia!
The Italian ship.
Yeah. The boys might just as well go back. There aren't any bodies.
And then this most dangerous monster that ever lived challenged the security of our city.
Oh, see, that was the start of Homeland Security.
Because of the deadly mantis. Oh.
Terror, surpassing terror. In the most astounding scenes ever filmed.
These guys are like the deadly man.
Deadly mantis.
These guys are like wearing like raincoats.
So that was bad. Now that was really bad, right? I mean, the praying mantis is like a big puppet. And it goes.
No, and they're using air raid sirens to herald its coming.
Yeah.
Oh, that was bad.
But that was not bad enough. I had to find something even worse. And
you found something worse than the deadly mantis?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
And we'll be hearing it in a moment. Hold on a second.
Oh, well, Jesus Christ. We do have many other great things to come on the show. We'll be doing your horoscope. We have weekly world perceptions and ponderings to do. The fucked up world we live in. Our first submit a bit. An interview? Are we going to get to that interview tonight?
Yes, we are.
At this current rate?
Yes, we're going to get to the interview.
All right, and
as we're waiting, because I wasn't prepared with this, I want to give you a little update. Last week, we played a clip from MTV News about the Anything But Monday magazine, and about on Tuesday, I got a little email from YouTube, said, copyright infringement. We have received word from Viacom that you are violating their copyrights.
Yeah, fucking so YouTube Nazis.
They took that clip down. So
great, good.
I believe that it was not copyright infringement. I think it was a fair use. We're not trying to steal their material. We just wanted to show this news report they did on us. So I'm going to try to put it in the premium area for the premium people to see if I can figure that out. So, yes, we already violated the copyright of Viacom, okay?
Good.
We can't do anything. We can't do anything right.
No, I'm hoping one day, very soon, one of these big companies come up, one of these big media companies come up and say, come on, you guys are great. We're going to put you on the radio, you know, and I'm going to tell you, you don't want to say to these people, I pissed on your radio. Go ahead. Play this thing. Here we go.
All right.
What is this?
This is really...
Oh, my God.
If you thought the other one was piss poor...
Let me see.
This is extremely piss poor.
All right. Let's
this
go.
Is... Check it out. Check out this. Check it out.
Okay.
Here we go.
Is it going to...
The nudes of Tiger Reef.
Nudes on Tiger Reef. The real story of the playground of Broadway and Hollywood stars. The most exclusive health club in the world. When a young producer takes his vacation and... As a member, he had access to all the secrets. Scenes you and I would never see except in this amazing motion picture.
Amazing.
Nudes on Tiger Reef.
Nudes on Tiger Reef.
You can't even see anything.
This cruise is just what the doctor ordered. Sit back and watch while revealing scene after revealing scene unfolds before your eyes.
Oh, my God.
This is horrible.
Let the magic of motion pictures transport you to this tropical paradise and in full color and widescreen keep your eyes popping while you watch cutie after cutie. For adventure, prepare for a trip under the reef to another world.
You can't miss these girls when you
see it and marvel at its
mermaids.
Beauty. See a deck full of premium beauties as the girls of the club get their get lucky. See nudes underwater, on top of the water. There's nudes all over the place.
There's nudes with the zombies. Unbelievable scene.
It has unbelievable scenes. So that was that a piss poor movie or what?
Wait a minute. That was that a trailer?
It was a trailer.
That was on TV?
No, it was like it was in the movies.
Dude, these people are naked.
I know.
How do you put nudes on Tiger Reef? Like this is.
I don't know. I don't
like,
know.
What are kids watching that movie theater?
I don't
movie
know.
Theater.
I don't
there's
know.
Like there's like women sitting there like bare ass naked.
I know.
Nudes on Tiger Reef.
That was the worst trailer I could find.
Oh, that was very
the nudes on Tiger
Reef. See them above the water, under the water, nudes everywhere. The most unbelievable nudes, fat nudes, wide nudes.
So was that
nudes.
was that piss poor enough for you?
That was bad. That's what you came up with those two things.
Oh, we have more.
What was that one you're talking about? The Brooklyn.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll get to that one.
We'll do one more.
One more.
For this one, and then we'll move on.
Yes.
Nudes on Tiger Reef. Oh my God, that was a classic. Oh my God. Okay.
Okay, here we go. We're going to have this next movie trailer. Bela Lugosi meets a Brooklyn gorilla. Here we go.
Bela Lugosi meets...
Tells you about... Wait, we have to go back to the beginning. Here we go.
Bela Lugosi meets a Brooklyn gorilla.
America's newest comedy team tells you all about its first big picture.
Okay, banga banga.
Since when do you talk a native language?
I just started today.
Well, what did he say?
What did he say? I don't even know what I said.
It's Duke Mitchell and Sammy Petrillo. It's their hilarious South Sea Island adventure. Bela Lugosi meets a Brooklyn gorilla.
Mitchell and Sammy Petrillo turn an island paradise into the zaniest madhouse in the seven seas.
It's a zany madhouse.
Carlita puts a gleam in Duke Mitchell's eyes.
Who was that?
A smile.
How is this a comedy?
I don't know.
Why is there singing involved?
They're like copying Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin.
Muriel Landers puts the whammy on Sammy.
The whammy?
Sammy! Run for your life!
And I heard a giraffe is coming after him.
Yeah.
Ramona, the romantic chimp, takes off on a romantic chase of her own.
Ramona, the romantic chimp.
That's interesting.
There's Bela Lugosi.
Really think so?
Yeah.
What a charming couple.
Oh, Bela Lugosi, man, he died right after this film.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Bela Lugosi he finds the perfect subject.
He committed suicide.
Turn a gorilla into a goop and versa vice.
versa vice? What the hell is versa vice?
He turns the guy into a gorilla.
What are you trying to tell me? I don't understand a word. What am I, dumb or something? Don't answer that. Hello, Duke Mitchell. I'm running this game, you understand?
Oh my God, it's a guy in a gorilla suit.
Yeah, now put it on, because we got to get out that door.
Oh my God. The jungle is jumping. With gals, gags, and goofs, when Bela Lugosi meets a Brooklyn gorilla.
And I love
how there's all this madcap mayhem as a guy in a big gorilla suit is chasing people around the South Seas.
And and Bela Lugosi just plays himself. He's, hey, I'm Bela Lugosi.
See, I'm Bela Lugosi.
he's not even a character anymore. He's just Bela Lugosi.
I heard he committed suicide after did that film.
Yeah. that was below the Ed Wood level.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was our piss poor.
There's your piss poor movie trailer.
Movie trailer. And now, we'll have a short break as we get back with our next big feature
of
the night.
I think we should do a few analysis of many things, and then we will get to our telephone interview.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can find our music section,
you better be editing this down severely when the time comes. Make this work.
What's the problem? Look, what's the problem?
What I'm trying to tell you is the CIA is nothing but a bunch of jack-offs who spend the majority of the day listening to our cell phone calls, relocating aliens, and helping Bush plan the next 9/11. That's all I want to say.
All right. Well, wait. Bring the music down here. The CIA, huh?
Yeah. Bastards.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the time has come.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. For the analysis of many things, of course, is my favorite feature on the show.
Let's analyze what I'm having right now.
What are you eating?
I'm eating some faye.
Hold on.
Faye.
Right, hold on. Let me take a picture of this.
It is the official yogurt of the Anything But Monday show.
Let me see. No. What does it say?
It's faye. It's pronounced faye. It's Serene Greek yogurt.
It says fag.
It's not fag. Do I look like a fag to you?
Hold on. Let me take a picture of this, right, of this label. On. It says, like,
It's pronounced...
Fage.
It's pronounced faye. Okay. I highly recommend this yogurt. It's got a very creamy consistency, and you mix some all fruit spread into it, and it makes a lovely combination.
Where do you get something like faye?
You can actually find faye. You can actually find this faye yogurt in most supermarkets and health food stores.
Is it have gelatin in it, or is it vegetarian? Because I am a vegetarian,
Frank. The only ingredients in this yogurt are grade A pasteurized skim milk and cream, live active yogurt cultures, and that's it.
Really?
So this is not gelatin. It's not that crap.
So where's mine?
None for you.
You don't have any for me?
No.
Thanks.
None for you.
Thanks.
Who got you an iPod?
Oh, thank
that's
you.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
All right? I'm off the hook for quite a while with that
exactly.
One.
Exactly. So we're starting off with the analysis of many things.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, is it bad to get yogurt on the mics?
On the
headset? Is that going to be bad?
It is.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I wanted to get something for us to celebrate our successful launch of the Anything But Monday show last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I got something here. I got us each little jugs of whiskey. Here you go. And it has a little handy handle on it. Let me take a picture.
Okay.
So it's easy to hold.
It's the...
Here's your... Let me take a picture here.
Tobermory. What is it? What is this? Tobermory.
This is your...
The malt scotch whiskey from the Isle of Mull.
The malt scotch whiskey from the Isle of Mull. It's a little green bottle.
Where is the Isle of Mull exactly, Frank?
I don't know.
Isle of Mull. Oh, here it is. Isle of Mull, Scotland.
Yes, it's in Scotland.
Scotland.
So it's a little jug of whiskey with a little handle on it. So I figured we could just take a little swig of whiskey to celebrate.
For the Isle of Mull.
What do you think?
Am I actually drinking this?
Yeah, take a picture of me swigging the whiskey too.
Oh, God.
Just take a sip. You don't have to like take it. You don't have to swig the whole thing down.
I know, this is going to be hard. I can tell you that.
All right. Okay? Just try it out though. This is Tobermory. take a swig. What do you think? All right, take a picture of me now.
Pays to buy the best.
All right.
Where are you?
I don't know. Just take a picture.
Am I supposed to flip up the flash for this thing?
I don't know. No, just do whatever it does.
All right. Let me see you swinging.
I'm opening it up.
Your whiskey
smells pretty good.
It's got quite an aroma. Yes, it's another one. Hey, Frank, you know that ugly picture you had of yourself? You said it was the worst picture ever? I just topped that with that picture.
That's good stuff.
Took there. Yeah.
Tobermory. So what do you think of that scotch?
It's actually not bad, actually, as far as scotches go. I usually don't like my scotch in miniature little wine bottles. But actually, it's actually quite good.
Mm.
You know, so
you can drink it right out of the bottle.
Yes, it's definitely tasty.
Good stuff. So we're celebrating our successful launch with a Tobermory Scotch whiskey.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a single malt. Maybe it is. But that was pretty good, right?
Yeah, that was good. It wasn't bad. So now you're washing it down with something?
Some water. A little bit of water. Now, the next thing on our agenda for the analysis of many things, because we do have to analyze many things, is I went to the Japanese grocery store, of course, in New York City.
Am I supposed to drink more of this scotch?
You can have as much as you want. You know,
is there any problems if, like, one of those famous sayings, like, you know, scotch before yogurt, never bogurt, or something like that. You're supposed to remember. Otherwise, if you do that, if you mix it too, it wouldn't be good.
Well, there's live cultures in there. They'll actually get drunk. And they'll start having fistfights in your digestive tract, like in that movie theater.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, talking about the digestive tract, you know, I went to the Japanese grocery. Now, they have a lot of, you know, funny...
I have a question for you. Can I leave this here and let this age for 12 years? Yeah. For 12-year-old scotch?
Yeah, let it age.
So I'm going to put it right near my Hong Kong Fui.
It's just going to sit there.
It's going to sit here until it ages 12 years. And for like 12 years from the day today, okay?
Which is when?
February 24th. 2019.
Wow.
We will open that bottle of scotch again on the show.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I have a product for you here from Japan. It's like a snack food.
Mm-hmm.
And check this out. It's the cream colon. Your cream colon.
Why are you giving me internal, like, people's organs to eat here?
The cream colon is a very lovely snack from Japan. Here, hold it up for the camera here.
Yeah, here it is. Cream colon.
The cream colon.
Yes. And this, hold on, this let me particular, get this particular was, product, let me describe it.
It's
if you could describe this is exactly what it looks like. It actually looks like a combo. If you know what a combo is. It's a combo pretzel snacks, and they're actually filled with cream of some
cream
sort.
Cream colon. And it's spelled C-O-L-L-O-N, so yeah, it is actually the cream colon.
And cream colons are filled with wonderful things. The number one ingredient, actually, is shortening.
Really?
which is hydrogenated fish oil.
Yes. So I cannot eat it. I'm a vegetarian. I cannot eat this. So the filling is...
Wait a minute. That's your out for this whole thing?
Yes, you have to eat it, but I can't.
Oh, yeah. So you want me to eat something that's...
You have to eat the cream colon.
Hydrated fish oil, wheat flour, sugar, glucose again. These Japs love glucose.
They love glucose, yeah.
Lactose, hydrated egg, cream... Wait. Cream cheese powder.
Yeah.
How do you even make cream cheese powder?
Yeah.
You know, corn syrup, cream powder, corn oil, salt, brandy.
There's brandy in
this. How do you get brandy in this?
A lot of stuff in the colon.
Non-fat, dry milk, soybean. Allergy information contains fish, wheat, egg, milk, soy, and every other known substance that are allergic to mankind.
So try some cream colon.
I'm opening a cream colon.
I definitely would eat it, but I can't eat. I'm
opening a pack of cream colon right now.
Hold on. We should do like a video on this one.
Hold on.
I want to see you eating the...
I'm opening a small bag of cream colon.
Hold on.
This is going to cream my colon. I can tell right now.
Here we go.
Hold on. They're actually not actual size. There's this false advertising.
We're trying to see that. What are these? That's your cream colon?
Yeah. No. Hold on.
How is it?
It tastes like those... What were those wafer cookies? The vanilla wafer cookies?
Yeah.
You know,
wafers?
No, that were vanilla wafers. It was the waffle cookies.
Oh, yeah.
And it tastes like exactly like that.
Really?
So spare yourself the chemicals. Go buy yourself the waffle crackers. Do not eat the cream colon. They actually melt in your mouth. There's really nothing to them. And the internal substance that's inside is definitely not something that I think is even kosher.
Yeah.
You know? Then again, why do the Japanese worry about being kosher?
I don't know. So there you go. There's your cream colon.
There's your cream colon snack.
So you liked it, huh?
No.
Now that's the kind of thing that if...
What do I do? I'm not going to save this cream colon, so I'm going to put the cream colon extras in the garbage.
No. We're going to send that to some of the Vanguards.
Oh, we're going to send the cream... So I'm going to... My open cream colon...
Yeah.
...is going to go to the Vanguards. So we're going to put that in to be a Vanguard package.
Yeah.
Maybe we should send this to Neil and from Ireland as his reparations for not getting his $1 million.
Yeah, we could do that.
Go ahead.
The next thing I have, I think I can eat this.
I'm gonna take a picture of your belly. How about that?
What?
Oh, go lean over that chair. You know, you just did sideways. Cause that is something.
No, come on.
All right, go ahead.
You know,
what are you taking a picture of?
All right, so we have here. Hold on, let me take the label off.
What
have we have fruits pretz. Here we go.
More illiterate can. More illiterate products.
Pretz. Another product from fruits Japan.
Oh,
fruit flavored pretzels.
It's recording. I don't know.
Wait, it's a video.
I'm videoing fruits pretz.
Hold on. All right, check this fruits pretz. I analyze this.
What stuff doesn't actually translate well in the English. Fruits pretz. We go back to the back of the box, okay, and we find out that we have ingredients such as wheat flour, sugar, oil, margarine, wheat germ, apple juice, raisin. I don't even know what that word is. Fig extract, yeast, honey, milk. Egg powder, salt, corn syrup, oh my gosh.
Here, let me get a good picture of the box there.
Can you even eat this? Can you even eat this stuff?
I can't. Yeah, I don't think there's any meat in it. So this is fruit pretz. Now, who would have thought to make fruit flavored pretzel sticks?
No, Frank, they're not pretzel sticks. It's fruit pretz.
They're pretz, like you take the EL off a pretzel.
Right, it's pretz.
Yeah.
You know? So, I'm going to give you a little box, a bag of fruit pretz. I'm going to open one of these up.
Like they come in little foil packets.
Yeah.
Like magenta foil packets.
Yeah. They smell like absolute shit.
It smells like...
Oh, my God.
Like cereal.
It's really bad. Let me see. There's nothing fruit-looking about these at all. They actually look like giant potato sticks.
All right, here. Take a picture of me eating some pretz, too. Here we go.
Picture of your pretz. Okay. Great. That's really just...
That's tasty, though.
Great.
It's not really, it's more like a cracker stick. Mmm.
Yeah.
Fruit flavored pretzel crackers.
You know.
Fruit pretz.
And they also double as ear swabs, because you want to use them for that.
Yeah.
All right. So.
The flavor is quite nice. I mean, it reminds me of like a fruit flavored breakfast cereal, perhaps.
They're kind of addicting. But I'm putting them back in.
You don't want to eat any more?
No. I'm going to save these for whoever gets mailed them. So please put this in the box, Frank.
I want to eat these, though.
You eat the rest of your fruit pretz.
It tastes good. It tastes like...
yeah, it's great for you.
Fruit flavors.
Great for you.
There's figs in there. Look at that. Frank, figs.
There's a modern invention that's out right now. You should try. It's called a treadmill.
I'm trying to say I'm fat.
Look, Frank, let's put it this way, okay? You know, not as svelte as it used to be. So let's go. Come on. What's next?
All right. This is something I found. It is the chef's recommendation. All right? It's camembert. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
This is also from Japan.
What is this?
And hopefully you like this. It's the chef's recommendation camembert.
Chef's recommendation?
Yeah.
What exactly is this?
Well, read the ingredients.
Ingredients are cheddar cheese.
Yeah.
And if we stopped right there, it would have been great.
Yeah.
But there are more ingredients other than cheddar cheese. It doesn't stop there.
Cheddar cheese is good.
It gets even better. So it starts with cheddar cheese, and it goes from there. Codfish paste. Wheat starch, sorbitols, lecithin, monosodium glutamate, all the ingredients. I think they just recopy these ingredients on every label. They're the same ingredients on every label. I got a headache.
So
I started getting a real hard headache, real painful shooting pain
from what?
My scalp. I don't know. I think that the fruit pretz and a combination of colon in my colon.
And also a little bit of whiskey before, too.
Yeah, and I think that's
all right.
It's something, don't try this at home,
kids. Let me get a good shot of the front of this thing, because it just says, was it chef's, what was it called?
It's called chef's recommendation, camembert.
Chef's recommendation. Here we go.
I just don't understand. You would ever
camembert.
You don't want to mix these things together.
I don't even know what form it would be in. Just check it out. Open it up.
All right. Is this the last thing we have to review tonight?
There's one more.
Oh my God.
Wait, hold on.
Oh my God. Frank, this is bad.
Wait, what's the matter?
Oh, my eyes are watering.
I mean,
it smells like hard feet. it's a combination of. Of feet, ass, and stanky twat, I think. Smell that. You smell that.
All right,
that smells...
It's like strips. Let me see.
Smell that.
Oh!
That stuff smells like a...
Wow!
You know, Matt, if you rub this on your fingers, I bet if you went around...
No.
Rub this on your two fingers and go around and put it under people's nose and say, what does this remind you of?
That is nasty, man.
Oh, my God.
The The chef's recommendation, camembert. Chef
recommendation
fish,
is
fish sticks.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you put this in. I'm telling you, this would be the best joke to play in Saturday. Well, rub your fingers on this for a little while.
No. Wow, that smelled nasty.
Rub your fingers on. If I go home with this on my fingers, my wife's gonna think something was up with the studio. I can tell you that. That's what.
Wow.
I'm not even gonna touch that, man. This whole place is gonna stink. All right, I can't eat this.
You can't eat the little
fish and great combination. They're fish and cheese.
They're like little sticks. They're like little fish.
Yeah, and they're fish and cheese sticks in a vacuum sealed package.
Yeah.
All right. So chef's recommendation. I don't recommend that.
It's not a good one.
You know what? We should mail this. We'll hermetically reseal these and send them to whoever lucky person is going to get those. Go ahead.
Yeah. I figure sometimes you get stressed out, especially lately. We've been getting stressed out. Trying to get the show done. I mean, going by and not that much sleep, obviously. And, like I said, I forgot my wallet. And because I haven't been getting enough sleep. Yeah. So I figure it's good to relax sometimes.
Yeah.
So I got the Relax Fua Fua Magnet. Which one? Choose one of these.
The Relax.
Now describe this here. This is the Relax Fua Fua Magnet.
Relax Fua Fua Magnet?
Yeah.
Where does it say Fua Fua on it?
On the translation on the back. You can see it says the Relax Fua Fua Magnet. And
what's this thing?
It's kind of a mysterious. Here, take a picture of me with the product.
Why are there ingredients on these things?
Because there's candy in there.
Why? How is it a magnet?
Listen, I don't know.
Wait a minute.
Not quite sure.
It's candy and it's a magnet.
It's magnetic candy.
Oh, my.
It's the Relax Fua Fua magnet.
Yeah, it's a Relax Fua Fua magnet.
Yeah.
It's got millet jelly.
Yeah, millet jelly.
Millet jelly. Yeah. Where do they come up with these ingredients from?
I don't know. But
I don't know what it is, okay? Millet jelly, sugar, grape juice. Trehalos.
What?
Trehalos. Palantinos. Oh man.
Palatinos?
I thought this was a magnet. What is this?
I really don't know what's in here. There's pictures of little. It's an orange box with pictures of little like teddy bears on there.
It is.
A little teddy. You got a teddy bear?
It's a little teddy bear head. It's a head of a teddy bear.
Let me see.
It's a heady.
All right. Let me see your teddy bear head.
It's a head of a teddy bear.
So that will help you relax now. Let me see. It's a teddy bear head.
It's a teddy bear head made in China. Wait a minute.
Is this a
is this a Japanese product?
It's a magnet? Where's the magnet part?
Is this a Japanese product?
Yes.
Why is it made in China?
I don't know. And then little balls come with it. Little like little millet balls. So let's analyze this.
They're like welded together.
I know.
I want to leave this sealed.
Basically,
somebody.
This is like a
I don't want to spoil the fun for someone that's going to open these up.
All right. You don't want to relax with your Fua Fua magnet? I want to see if it's magnetic, first of all.
I don't think it is, Frank.
Basically, it's a little teddy bear head. It's like plush. And mine is crying. But I don't think it's magnetic. Look, I really need to relax sometimes, so I'm trying to. This is like sealed shut. I can't even open this thing up. So do you like your Relax Fua Fua magnet?
Here we go. I have a problem with it.
Oh, mine is size 7.
The mental institution.
That's where I am, a mental institution.
So it's basically a little, I have a crying teddy bear head. It's not a magnet. Let me try to stick it on something. No. It just has a little loop on it, so.
You stick it down your pants. All right.
So do you like your Fua Fua?
Yeah, I see. I like
what model did you get? I got the crying bear.
Is there a name on mine?
I don't know. What did you get?
I don't know what this is.
Describe it. It's a little teddy bear head.
I got a happy bear.
Oh, yours is happy. Mine is crying.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, I'm going to say this wonderful product. One of our other people to get. Listen to that product.
Let me try the millet bowl here.
And we are winding down a fabulous feature of the analysis of many things. Frank, please do not bring food items for next analysis of many things, okay? It's going to take me days to detox my system from this stuff.
We'll be back. We're back.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
I am here.
Okay.
I am here.
Let me have some more pretz here.
You know, I gotta tell you, I've been working on a lot of good ideas lately.
Yeah.
You know, and you always laugh at my ideas, but I have a lot of good ideas.
Yeah.
And my latest one I have to share this one with you.
Yeah.
Even though I have the solution.
Yeah.
For handling Iran.
Really?
Yep. I cannot divulge the entire plan.
For Iran.
Iran, yeah.
Okay, because
the Persians.
So we're in Iraq, and now the Iranians who are next door are doing nuclear, and they're gonna go forward with that. So we got to stop them, right? Is that the thing?
Yeah, I'm glad you got all that down, Frank. Thank you for the political commentary there. Yes,
but that's generally the situation.
I thought of this great idea since you know, they're always in divergence, right? So I've come up with the perfect...
The idea is if you die as a martyr, like if you blow yourself up on a bus,
right,
you'll get the 72 virgins in heaven, yada, yada, yada.
Right, but this is what I'm working on.
Yeah.
Okay? All I can tell you, it involves a complex combination of virgin fembots, napalm, and falafel. Now, follow me on this.
Yeah.
Okay? They're going to have eye lasers, okay?
Yeah.
Or some kind of clitoral blowtorches of some sort for detonation. So I can't tell you how the whole thing happens, but if you can kind of figure, you know, virgin fembot, she saunters up to you, you know, you get all comfy,
yeah,
right? Offer you a little falafel, you know, a little sex, you know, and then the napalm, and then, you know, it's all over.
So in some combination, falafel, napalm, and virgin, you know, robot women,
yes,
will solve this entire problem.
You don't think that's a good idea?
I think it could work, especially like, you know, the guys doing the nuclear, you could go up to them, you know, with the, in the laboratories. With the robots and seduce them.
Yeah, what, I think it's a great idea.
And then blow them up with the lasers. I think it can work.
Napalm. It's like they got napalm.
But it's creative ideas like this that will help the situation because we don't want to go to war with Iran.
Why not? Better remember everybody else. Why the hell not? What's wrong with that? Okay.
What if they have insurgents?
What about their laundry? They're talking about.
I don't
know. All right, here, Frank. You know, yeah. Frank, you know how guys are always into taking pictures of their balls, right?
I've heard of it. I don't personally myself partake in that.
Well, there used to be a franchise called Moto Photo.
Yeah.
How about Moto Scroto?
Ah, there you go.
Genius.
Yes.
Genius.
So, especially for testicle photography.
Exactly.
They will not question it because usually, if you take something like that to a photo place, they will. Get a little nervous and get, you know, they'll, look, don't bring this stuff here anymore. But at Moto Scroto, photography of scrotums is A-okay.
A-okay.
Yes.
Right? And now, also, I have a solution for getting rid of the national debt.
Yeah.
Reveal the aliens. Did I go over to the new show? I think I mentioned this before. Area 51, Hangar 18, open it all up. Charge, what, $10 a head?
So you're saying like our national debt now, which is what, like $50 trillion
exactly.
or something.
We could wipe it out in a week by tourism.
So basically, no, I'm telling you, if they said, look, we're opening Area 51 up, you can come in and see the aliens, the spacecraft.
That we have, for sure.
People would pay money. Even if it was like $500, people would want to see it.
How much would you charge per head?
Like
would you charge $500? You charge $500 a head. Charge $500 a head.
Yeah, $500 each. And there's like hundreds of millions of people in this country that would want to see that. So what's 100 million times 500?
That's like 500 billion.
Exactly. So we're halfway to a trillion already. Right. And we only have 49.5 trillion to go, whatever.
Yeah. So and when exactly is this Freedom Tower Memorial going to get built?
They say by like 2012.
Oh, yeah?
Right in time for the apocalypse, according to the Mayans.
Yeah. So, I mean, we went over that last show.
of course.
You know, I mean, I had the perfect way. Perfect idea.
Yeah.
For getting this thing done fast.
Yeah.
Okay. You ever see that show Extreme Makeover?
Yeah.
A whole new series called Extreme Makeover Ground Zero. Okay.
That would be great.
Those people get the shit done. They get shit done like a week. You have a Freedom Tower in about a week. Built. Done. All the buildings. A couple more weeks more, you get all of the building. They put up a building a week until you get the whole thing done. Why hasn't anybody thought of this idea?
It would be a good idea, you know?
Who wouldn't watch that show?
I would watch it.
Right?
Yeah.
Extreme Makeover, Ground Zero.
Yeah. You just get a couple carpenters to build a skyscraper. It'd be great.
Exactly. All right.
The national debt is $8.7 trillion, to be correct. It's not $50 trillion. I just wanted to bring you the proper news. I checked on the internet for that.
Oh, Frank, every time I deal with you, Frank.
I'm in pain all the time.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like.
Yes. So now...
How about the Miss Muffet diet?
This is another idea. The Miss Muffet diet.
The Miss Muffet diet. All you can eat is curds and whey.
Yeah.
And you can't go off it. Until a spider sits down beside you. That's all you can eat. You never can go off it. Until a spider sits down.
Yeah, but curds and whey, doesn't that like attract the spiders?
No.
It doesn't.
Why are you so gullible? That doesn't do that.
Well, why do you think people stop eating curds and whey? It's a very nutritious breakfast, but giant spiders start attacking you when you eat it, you know?
Curds and whey, man. It's a high protein.
Usually based on the giant humanoid spiders, you know, from the various fairy tales, you know?
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Maybe that's probably why the diet doesn't kind of work. All right, so scratch that idea.
So bring it back. Bring it back.
So scratch.
Bring some curds and whey in here. I want to chat with some giant spiders.
I don't have any curds and whey lying around. But if you don't like that idea, how about this one?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's always embarrassing when you kind of got to adjust yourself in public.
Yeah. Okay, I do relate to that because your penis and your testicles.
You're always going to get in the way. They're never in a comfortable spot.
See, what I notice is because I they say boxers are briefs. I use the boxer shorts.
You wear boxer shorts?
Yeah, and it's usually fine, but sometimes
I'm wearing boxer briefs. How does that work?
I don't know.
Okay,
but sometimes
what if I mailed my boxer briefs to a listener? Would they want those?
I don't know. No. I'm not sure.
Okay,
we haven't come up with the disclaimer yet for the Vanguard program. But, okay,
12-year-old boy gets my boxer briefs in the
that's
mail.
That's not a good idea.
What's wrong with
no,
that?
But it's quite yeah. You do sometimes.
It was due to feces thrown all over the walls.
Go ahead.
No, sometimes inexplicably things get all discombobulated down there somehow. I think that the boxers are like twisted a little bit, like at a 3-degree angle, and it's very uncomfortable. And yeah, you don't want to reach down and
but
in public.
If you had an adjust a crotch, you wouldn't have to.
Now that actually is
it's a small discrete device.
Okay? That's actually
you push a little button and everything is straightened out. There.
I mean, all kidding aside, that actually would be a very useful.
I'm not even kidding.
I would buy an adjust a crotch.
I'm putting that. Well, that can go along with my other new invention called the autocock. Okay,
I don't know about that one though.
No, because look, come on. You know, there's some nights you're just not into it, whatever, and you know, you just flip on the autocock, man, and that's it.
Like hydraulic or
it's got hydraulics. Really? Exactly.
Don't they do have that though, I think.
Do they have those?
Yeah, for like the transgendered women.
Don't bring those people into this show. I don't want to talk about transgendered people.
You have something against the LGBT community?
What the hell is that? What is that?
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender? LGBT.
These people.
The women who become men, so they're transgendered from female to male.
Are they going to need an autocock if that's the case?
They are autococks.
Okay.
Because they have to sort of, they get, like, they take skin from somewhere and make a penis, but they need to put, like, that autocock in there. So I think that one was already invented for the transgendered community.
Okay. How about this one? A new show idea.
Yeah.
Battleship Amok.
Battleship Amok?
Yeah. It's just, you get a bunch of people on a battleship who don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
Right? And they just drive it around. You know, firing off guns and just causing havoc with it.
Like an actual, like, giant battleship.
Yeah, a battleship. You just get a battleship, and you put a bunch of people on and say, have a blast.
Literally. That'd be cool, yeah.
You just run it around and just blowing things up with the battleship.
That'd be great.
Driving it around, like, up and down Hudson River, and if we want to take it, just wreaking
couple
havoc.
Couple cruise missiles. Couple, yeah,
exactly, man. Yeah. You know, those big idiots guns or whatever they have right now, just, like, leveling buildings. I mean, think about that. That would be a cool. They could do. Look, let's not do it for real, okay? It could be all CGI. Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a lot of fun.
I mean, I think Battleship.
Like a virtual reality game. We can build that in Second Life.
Yeah. Right.
Are we going into Second Life or what?
What?
We have to build the Anything But Monday world in Second Life. We can do that in Second Life.
I don't know what you talk about.
we'll have to discuss this off the show.
I want
to
get it.
I'll explain Second Life to Mike, and we will set up our own amusement park there in Second Life.
I had a new other idea that I thought we should make bumper. We should make these, like, you know, they put, like, people like to be funny and like to put those, you know, stickers over signs to make them look like something else and whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I thought it would be great if you just rename streets. You go around at nighttime and you put those little, you put those stickers over the streets so there'd be something else. So imagine me driving down the street and you see Clitoris Avenue.
Clitoris Avenue.
I think I'm right on Clitoris Avenue and he left on Penis Boulevard.
Wow.
You know, but this, the next morning, like, I wonder how many people would notice. Like, people that drive down around the same street every day, and they look up and they
People don't question things like that anymore. They'll just accept it. They won't notice.
They won't even notice.
They won't notice. This society is a bunch of sheep.
Right. Bunch of sheep. We don't have any sheep sound effects, do we, Frank? At all for the night, do we? You know? All right.
I'm sure I could find one if you give me a few minutes.
Forget it. Well, anyway. Oh, and my other new product, Frank, which would be very useful.
Yeah.
For college students, high school students, whatever, bra away.
Bra away?
Yeah. You know, it's always hard to get off the bras, especially when you're younger, right?
Yeah.
It's a little substance you put on your fingers, or you can put in, it can be in spray format. It just dissolves any brassiere. And you spray it on there. It leaves skin intact, but it preserves it. So it's bra away.
That's a
great. These are brilliant ideas. That's why it's called brilliant ideas.
You had these kind of good ideas even back in in the first time around in the 80s, and you never did anything with them, and everyone else invented all this stuff, and, you know.
I wouldn't invent the bra away.
No, but I'm saying you invented other things in the past that other people, so you got to manufacture some of these things.
I'm telling you, everything I say on this show is going to be trademarked and copyrighted.
I think like the crotch master, that one I think would be good.
It's not called a crotch master, it's called just a crotch.
All right, whatever, the crotch master, whatever. That would be a good one.
Okay.
Try to make that one. And
you
then
don't think I should pitch Battleship Amok? You don't think I should do
Battleship
that?
Amok is good. Clitoris Avenue, go with that one too.
How about my new toy idea?
Yeah.
Small parts.
Small parts?
It works well in alternate reality where children are the size of giants.
So
it's a toy called Small Parts. You know, you're supposed to always avoid small parts for children. But somewhere in an alternate reality, small parts are what they need.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to find that reality, right? And just sell it to where these kids are the size of giants. So small parts would be great.
Because they would actually be big. Okay.
Exactly. Come on.
That makes sense.
You follow me with this whole thing?
Yeah, it makes total sense to me.
And I think we should rename all snack cakes when they were back to the politically correct name. Okay. You know, it used to be Funny Bones. We should put them back to Ulnar Nerves.
What was it? What is it?
Remember Funny Bones?
Yeah.
Snack cakes. They should be renamed Ulnar Nerves. You know, that's what it should be. Every snack that's got a name, but something else.
That is your actual. That is your funny bone.
Right, your ulnar nerve. Right?
Yeah.
So they should be called all. No one would buy them, actually, then, if that was the case. I guess so they call them Funny Bones, right?
Yeah. Whatever happened to that Dolly Madison? Remember when you used to watch the Snoopy?
Dolly Madison.
It was always brought to you by Dolly Madison Cakes. And now it's totally out of business.
Wasn't Dolly Madison James Madison's, wife?
Yeah. And she invented, these snack little, cakes? These little Twinkies, back in the 1880s, you know?
Frank, I think Dolly Madison was in the 1880s.
What?
Dolly Madison's before that thing, I think. See, you are
all right,
in fact.
All right, so be technical. She's in the 1870s. All right,
you are ignorant in history about other things, you know, as well.
What do you mean? When was Dolly Madison?
I don't know. I thought Dolly Madison was during the war. You know, wasn't she in World War in the Revolutionary War, bringing water to the troops at the front?
I don't think so.
Oh, that was Molly Pitcher. I'm sorry, they're all the same.
But was she named after the pitcher or
no?
Okay. Molly Pitcher.
Okay. How about this? How about this game show idea?
Yeah.
Watch out for that bulldozer.
That's a good one.
Right? That's the whole show. People screaming, look out for this bull. Watch out
and
for that bulldozer.
It's like wrecking everything.
It's a gigantic bulldozer just plows through shit all over the place. Wouldn't watch that. Right? Wouldn't you watch that show?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, Dolly. Okay. Dolly Madison with an EY is the wife.
Oh.
And she's from the she was the first lady from 1809 to 1817. So, yeah, it was a little bit earlier than that.
Okay. Well, you went
Dolly Madison, the bakery brand. Made Zingers. Remember this?
Yeah.
That's Dolly without the E.
Okay.
They made Zingers, Gems, and other things. And they...
And what?
What happened to them? I don't know.
They stopped existing.
They're still around.
Production ceased.
No, they're still around. I didn't realize this. DollyMadison.com.
DollyMadison.com. Yes. Go to DollyMadison.com right now. Do zombies like snack cakes, Frank? Do you think they do?
Everyone likes Dolly Madison snack cakes, even Snoopy and Charlie Brown and Linus and all of them.
This is what I think about this.
the zombie soundboard, yes.
This is like the zombie swiping at Charlie Brown.
Rats.
Is that what I feel later?
Is that worth the $20 we paid for the zombies? Yeah. Come on.
Just that sound effect alone right there?
That's a good one,
that's
right?
That's worth $20 right there.
Yeah.
Right there, at that point.
See, we're spending big bucks on the show. This is what your premium dollar support. that would be like one person. Like that zombie sound effect costs as much as three people for 1 month. Right?
Just think of how many people they had to kill to get those sound effects.
Exactly.
Just that way.
Using real life zombies.
Just how many undead you had to raise just to get the soundboard just
exactly,
right.
Exactly.
Right? Right, very good. And who took these shots?
Ooh, painful.
To record those.
Very, very painful.
Somebody punching a bag of rice, right there. So,
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was Mike's brilliant ideas. I hope you liked my ideas. I have many more.
A lot of good. Some of them are impractical, I believe, but some of them are better than others.
You don't like that one?
No, I liked a lot of them. I liked a lot of them.
What about my new soft drink, Diet Vomit?
Diet Vomit.
You don't like that?
I think, zombies might like that. I don't know about Diet Vomit.
What's wrong with Diet Vomit? The zombie vomit.
What is it used? Sucralose? What is it? Aspartame?
Right, yeah.
NutraSweet. It's a neurotoxin.
That's right. It's just Diet Vomit.
It turns people into zombies. Literally.
It does?
Yeah. Okay. Isn't it a neurotoxin?
It does.
You should know. You know about all the this kind of stuff.
I know about all the healthy stuff. Frank, I am very healthy.
Yeah, me too.
Very health conscious.
I am too.
You know, I'm very into that, and I still am all these years later, and just try to take good care of myself. You know, work out religiously, regularly.
Me too.
Yeah. Go look at Frank's picture online. Let's see who's lying. Okay. Well, that was, Mike's brilliant ideas. We did announce so many things. And we'll be back momentarily to go into the news of the week.
The news and then our interview. A lot of great stuff coming up. Here we go.
Love a zombie today, will you please?
Yes.
Go hug a zombie.
All right.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
For comedy for people who like to laugh. And on to our next big segment of the show.
At 1:39 a.m.
Oh, God. Is it that late, man?
Let me have some more of my Fusion coffee. This is the 7-Eleven Fusion coffee.
Thanks for getting me some. I appreciate it. Well, then you wonder why I didn't get you any yogurt. You didn't get me any Fusion.
Well, you didn't get me any yogurt. I didn't get any Fusion.
Right. Who came in with what first?
I figured you wouldn't think this was healthy. I should have called you from 7-Eleven. I'm sorry.
Yeah, how about that? You could have called me for some, hey, Mike, I'm here. You know, I'm picking up some Fusion. How about a little coffee? No, you don't do that, do you? No. Okay.
I just spilled it on myself.
What else is new? The people, also many people are.
Yes.
You have to give you a Heimlich maneuver or something like that?
No.
You're the only person that can choke on liquid. All right. Many people have been like asking about the horoscope and like that bit. So we have a new round of horoscope, and again we assert that when we do get to this feature that if you follow it just the way as we laid it out,
it will help you.
It will help you, or you'll be arrested or something like
yes.
that. All right, not responsible if you get killed in following your horoscope. But Frank, where are we now?
I would like to start off the news. We're doing the news segment now.
We're doing the news segment. Let's do the news.
Yes,
or we like to call it the fucked up world.
Yes, the fucked up world
that we and the zombies live in. And, Frank, you may start off.
I'd like to start off. And, the first story I want to talk about is, something that I was sometimes in the morning, I'll turn the TV on. I'll watch like the Fox News or the local Fox station. And,
let me tell you something.
Yeah.
On my top five shit list is the media.
Yeah.
All right. Right. Pharmaceutical.
Yeah, they suck.
Pharmaceutical companies, number one.
Yeah.
Media, number two. Right
exactly.
there. 1-2.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
So luckily, I have the DVR, so anything that comes on the TV, I can...
That would be digital...
Video recorder.
Oh, okay.
So you can rewind it. So I actually recorded it on my little recorder. This is what I heard the other morning on Fox News. Here we go.
Let me hear this.
Okay. Director John Walters, good to talk to you today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Just ahead on Fox and Friends, if an asteroid is on track to destroy the Earth in 2036, is there a way to keep it from hitting us without blowing it up? Hear why our next guest says, yes, we can do it. And while one senator says Republicans can win in 08 if they play the immigration card the right way. You're watching Fox and Friends, the best morning show on TV. We'll be
I got to play that again. The way she just says it's so matter-of-factly.
Because these people are robots. This is the fucking media.
Listen to this. This is the Fox News station that goes all around the world.
Okay.
Listen to this again.
Director John Walters, good to talk to you.
Yes?
Hold on.
What did Viacom
programs for prescription
getting or not right at
here we
home,
go.
Correct, Director?
We are the drug dealer.
Okay. Okay. Director John Walters, good to talk to you.
That story was stupid, too.
Thank you.
Just ahead on Fox and Friends, if an asteroid is on track to destroy the Earth in 2036, is there a way to keep it from hitting us without blowing it up? Hear why our next guest says, yes, we can do it. And why one
now, all right, let's try to analyze
this. Let's analyze. Wait, first of all, that would cause a mass, this is like a mass hysteria.
The Earth is going to be destroyed in 2036.
This is news to me.
Right? And
in 2036.
So, matter of fact, he's like, well, the asteroid's going to destroy the Earth in 2036. Is there a way to stop it without blowing it up? Just blow it up. Who cares? Blow the damn thing up. Why would you want to preserve it? Are these people? Are these like
Frank? People for the PETA? People for the Earth's people of asteroids?
That's it. That's what I'm thinking. Are the environmentalists like? I guess is space part of the environment? You're not allowed to blow up an asteroid. It's going to destroy the Earth.
2036 is an asteroid. Wait, that's 29 years from now.
Yeah.
You know?
But I actually,
I'll be 70 years old. I'm not getting out of the way of this asteroid at that point.
I found the actual story online. Let me read you this story, because Fox News exaggerated it a bit, okay?
Yeah.
Asteroid headed for Earth. Astronomers are monitoring an asteroid that may come uncomfortably close to Earth in 2036. It's called Apophis, and it has a 1 in 45,000 chance of striking Earth on April 13th, 2036. It's a 1 in 45,000 chance. And they're saying this asteroid is going to destroy the Earth.
No wonder she's so matter-of-fact about it, friend.
And that was what they say. A direct hit on an urban area could unleash more destruction than Hurricane Katrina, the 2004 Asian tsunami, and the 1906 San Francisco earthquake combined.
As long as it's not in my town, I don't care.
The blast would equal 880 million tons of TNT, or 65,000 times the power of the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima.
Okay, well, I guess I can live with that.
Scientists recently gathered in California to discuss how to detour Apophis. The favorite approach is to dispatch a spacecraft that would use gravity to alter the asteroid's course it is no longer threatens Earth.
Perhaps you haven't seen a movie called Armageddon. Didn't go too well, did it?
The mission costs are estimated at $300 million. That sounds awfully cheap.
The one-way trip, that's why.
NASA says there are currently more than 800 potentially hazardous asteroids with the potential of each making a close approach to Earth. Unfortunately, there's no way to predict them. So how are they going to use gravity? They have gravity generators now? I mean, how do you use gravity?
Dude, I don't know what the hell they're...
Using gravity to alter the asteroid's course.
I love the way this one says this whole thing. If an asteroid is headed to Earth and it's going to kill us all, let's find out how we can avoid it. It's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Director John Walters, good to talk to you.
I can do this one more time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Just ahead on Fox and Friends, if an asteroid is on track to destroy the Earth in 2036,
Fox and
is
Friends.
There a way to keep it from hitting us without blowing it up? Hear why our
why?
Next guest
just
says,
blow
yes,
up.
We can do it.
How do you,
and why one senator says Republican.
And he just goes into this other thing.
Well, first of all, how do you read that with a straight face even? You know, I mean,
she's like a robot. She's just reading it.
She's a fembot.
If an asteroid is going to destroy the Earth.
Is it time for my break now?
So that's, I mean.
Can you please promote me?
But so that's a kind of like just weird, like people just accept this. People are sheep.
Look at this, Frank.
Yeah, what?
Here we go.
What do you got?
Beaver seen in New York City for the first time in centuries.
A beaver?
No, beaver.
Beaver
no,
seen.
No, that wasn't a beaver.
Yeah.
Okay, it's beaver,
beaver seen
in New York City. First in centuries. Now, I don't know about you, okay, but I've witnessed beaver in New York City much more recently than the first few centuries, Frank. I don't know about you.
Yes.
And then it says right here, let's see, no, in all seriousness, it says here that biologists videotaped a beaver swimming up the Bronx River on Wednesday as it mutated into some kind of creature.
Who drove the beavers out, though?
Oh, here it is. It's Twig and Mud Lodge had been spotted earlier on the riverbank, but the tape confirmed the presence of the animal. That's actually a homeless person's houseboat.
But the thing is, if the beaver builds a dam,
yeah,
what will happen to the tunnels?
What tunnels?
The Holland Tunnel and the Lincoln Tunnel.
How is it going to affect the Bronx River? It's only going to flood the Bronx
River.
What
if on the Hudson River? What if they? What if it dams up the Hudson River?
So what? The tunnels underneath the river.
Yeah, but then, but where will all the water go?
What difference does it make? The tunnels under the river.
I know, but it might flood the tunnels because the water is all backed up. It might flood the tunnels.
It means it's going to spill over the sides and flood into the tunnels?
I'm saying it could mess up traffic a lot. There could be traffic jams all over New Jersey.
Only on the Bronx River Parkway. Listen to what it says.
No, but what if a lot of beavers came and started building dams all over the place?
Night of the beavers.
what if you go to turn on your shower and there's no water because the beavers dammed it all up? This is dangerous, really.
This is more dangerous than the asteroids, the beavers, you know?
Now, are they anthropomorphic beavers? Are they intelligent? Are they normal
man.
Beavers?
There's a shot of a beaver here in the Bronx River. That's all I got right here.
Yeah.
Okay, what else you got?
Any? Are there any? I don't know. What?
What else do you have?
What else do I have?
Here we go. Here's a go. Right from.
I have something else.
All right. Well, here's one for me. Okay. They said it right from the Newark Star Ledger.
Yeah.
They said, I'm so proud of New Jersey with this gay marriage thing. It was on the news and I was like cheering, yeah, go Jersey.
What?
Okay.
Who's saying this?
Montclair girl and star, Christina Ricci.
Christina Ricci.
In the Garden State. Okay. Attention all celebrity ditzes. Do us a favor. Okay. Keep your mouth shut. Okay, your mouth's only good for using only for one thing and one thing only. All right, why must these people say anything? Do we care?
Christina Ricci.
What Christina Ricci has to say?
She was in like Adam's Family.
As a kid, I mean, yeah. So proud of this. I'm so proud of this whole thing. I'm so proud of New Jersey with this gay marriage thing. It was on the news, and I was cheering like, "Yeah, go Jersey."
When did that? I thought that happened like months ago.
Stay away, wherever you are. Just stay away.
You're not for the gay marriage.
No, it's nothing about gay marriage.
Yeah.
You think the gay people want this idiot as their spokesperson? What they're saying?
Maybe they like her.
Yeah. Okay. I bet they do.
Ricci.
Please.
She's from Jersey?
Yeah. Really? Go figure.
Mummified body found in front of blaring TV.
I had that same story.
you passed on that one?
I know. I have it in my paper somewhere here. But yeah. Go ahead. I had it here. Yeah. Man sat dead for a year as TV stayed on.
Yes.
Go ahead, read.
Police called to a Long Island man's house, discovered the mummified remains of the resident, dead for more than a year, sitting in front of a blaring television set. That's awesome. The 70-year-old Hampton-based New York resident, identified as Vincenzo Riccardo, appeared to have died of natural causes, police said on Saturday. His body was discovered on Thursday when they went to the house to investigate a report of a burst water pipe. You could see his face. He still had hair on his head. So the TV was blaring. The TV was on for an entire year as he sat there dead.
Yeah.
Now the thing that would suck is, right, you know how you like to sit and do some channel surfing, right?
Yeah.
Just think, he had to sit there watching the same channel for, you know, dead, for his spirit or whatever.
Yeah.
Was stuck in the body. What channel?
Unable to change the channel.
Do they say what channel he had on?
Because he was like, probably Oprah killed him.
Because if he had a good channel on, it might have not been that bad, but...
Yeah. Was he a zombie or was he a mummy?
Well, if he was watching TV, it was probably like a zombie, sort of semi-alive. But that is scary to think that, like, I guess if you're a person that doesn't have any, like, friends or relatives...
You can just die.
Like, no one knows.
No one checks on you. No one sees you come and go. No one cares.
That's scary. You could just sit in your house dead for like watching TV for a year. That is crazy. And he just became like instantly mummified.
Yeah.
He had all the bandages on him and everything.
Wait a minute.
What?
How did the bandages get on him?
Who put the?
And they also didn't say, if you read a little further down, there's also a pyramid they built over his house as well. Did you see that?
No, but where did the mummified body, where did the bandages come from?
I don't know. This sounds like an Illuminati plot to me.
Yes, it is an Illuminati plot.
We will get into Illuminati or Illuminati a little while, right? That's a new, that was a bit that was sent into us, right? Illuminati or Illuminati.
We'll get that in a moment.
But,
We got to get moving here. We're at 2 hours and, six minutes.
Here's another great one.
Yeah.
Okay? Trio Sahara Slog, 111 days, 4,000 miles. Okay? Three ultra-endurance athletes. This is in Egypt, the Western Desert in Egypt.
Yeah.
Okay? Three ultra-endurance athletes have just done something most would consider insane.
Yeah.
They ran the equivalent of two marathons a day for 111 days, become the first modern runners to cross the Sahara Desert's 4,000 miles.
Really?
You know, all I can think of, I wish I had this kind of time on my hands.
I know. If we had that much time, we could do a premium podcast. Oh,
it's like, what's next, man? Yeah, honey. Next week, me and the boys, we're off to look for a needle in a haystack. And like, when do you get this kind of time? These guys are, you know, 44. The guy's 38 and 30. You know, they have families.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it. I just don't get it. What are you thinking? I wish I had this kind of time. Please, give me that kind of time. I'll do that. Go.
Me too.
Here.
What do you mean go? I had two stories, the mummy and the
asteroid. I got another good one.
Asteroid.
I am from Bucharest, Romania. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
It never fails, sooner or later.
Yeah.
It's always the Eastern Bloc countries. Priest gets 14 years for fatal exorcism.
What?
A Romanian priest who led a days-long exorcism.
Yeah.
Ritual for a young nun that ended with the woman's death was sentenced yesterday to 14 years in prison Four nuns were also sentenced in the case. The dead nun, Marisica Arena Cornicia, believes she heard the devil talking to her.
Is this the Weekly World News again?
She was treated for schizophrenia, but when she relapsed, Daniel Petru Cornagnu, a monk who served as a priest for the scheduled Holy Trinity Convent in northeast Romania, and the four other nuns tried exorcism. They tried it. Look, you should not be sampling with exorcism, right? You know, we're just going to dabble on exorcism. This woman, this 23-year-old woman, this nun, was tied up for several days without food or water and chained to a cross. She died of dehydration, exhaustion, and suffocation. And yes, Frank, you're asking, the exorcism was successful.
It was a success. The demon was cast out. Wow.
Oh, my God.
What's going on over there?
That's not crazy enough.
Yeah.
Listen to this last paragraph, okay?
Yeah.
This tells you how fucked up the world is.
Yeah.
Dozens of Koragnus, the guy, the priest, right? The monk, of his supporters, packed the courtroom and prayed for the priest. Several burst into tears when the verdict was announced. What the fuck are you talking about? This 23-year-old woman is chained to a cross for days on end, dies of dehydration, exhaustion, and suffocation, and you're crying for the priest who did it. What is going on? What is happening? You know, and you wonder why they call me Mad Mike. This is this fucking crazy shit that goes on in the world that drives me up.
Yeah, the world like sucks. There's so much shit going on. It sucks.
Oh, this one. Will Racy Photos hurt Idol semifinals? You hear about this one?
No, what happened?
Antonella Barba.
Really? Oh, she's from Jersey.
Yeah.
Another Jersey girl. Looks like Christina Ricci.
Yeah, right. Antonella Barba was
here it is, one of the finals.
Barba, or a dead ringer for the striking brunette. This is what they're talking about. They're not sure if this video is actually her, but this is what they saw. Barba, or a dead ringer for the striking brunette, is topless and in bikini underpants in two photos, with her hands covering her breasts, along with other young women in similar poses. In two photos, she is fully dressed but dancing suggestively with other women.
Was she at Tiger Beach? It all fits together. Look.
One shot is of her on the toilet, clutching toilet paper, and in another, she's making an obscene gesture to the camera. Welcome to New Jersey.
Where are these pictures?
This is the Jersey Shore. Welcome to the, welcome to 25 and under year old women of the Jersey Shore. You know, that's her. We have to do a search online and find her.
Did she got kicked off? I didn't watch Idol. Don't tell me who got kicked off. Don't tell me who got kicked off this week.
I'm not listening to you. I'll make some zombie noise to cover it.
No, I don't. Did you see? I didn't see it. We should go on American Idol. You want to go on?
And do what?
Sing. Just think how much publicity we can get for the Anything But Monday show if we were finalists.
Frank, the band tried that, and they're not doing too well, if you haven't noticed.
Oh, that's true. And the Anything But Monday band. So any enterprises named Anything But Monday should stay away from music reality shows.
Exactly.
That's what you're trying to say?
Yes, what I'm talking about.
Probably a better idea.
Here's another one, Frank. Ghost pilots linked to CIA rendition unit are identified.
What?
And we wonder why all these helicopters are going down. They're using ghost pilots.
These are all in real newspapers. I can't believe this. This is not like a fake pilots. News.
How do you fly a plane with ghost pilots? You know? Now, if it was space ghost, that's one thing, right? Space ghost can fly.
Well, you have the ghost rider who rides a motorcycle. It's not that much of a stretch for a ghost pilot to have these guys have like the skeleton heads on fire like the ghost rider?
No, these guys are ectoplasmic. They have wispy hands, no appendages. They can't grip anything.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, ghosts. They're real ghosts, right?
I don't see how that's going to work.
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, but the ghost rider is also a ghost. But he's like a skeleton on fire.
Yeah, I saw
he's
that.
He's a superhero.
Yeah, I saw that on the commercial.
Yeah, so these people could be the same way.
God, Nicolas Cage.
Not to be confused with the ghost riders in the sky.
What is left?
From that song.
What is left of Nicolas Cage's career?
I don't know.
What the hell are you doing?
So what's going on with this candle over here?
Okay, that is the...
Is this candle supposed to smell?
Yeah, it's cinnamon.
I'm not smelling it at all. I don't want to. It's hot. It's hot.
Frank, lit candles are usually hot.
Oh, I smell it.
And if you put your hand into them, you'll burn them.
You can put your hand through, you know.
All right. Anyway, and here's the last thing, Frank. Last thing before we go
way out wax. One more story tonight.
One last story tonight. Humans are not alone as weapon makers. Chimps have spears.
It's starting.
You saw it's starting.
The Planet of the Apes is starting.
I wrote it right here. And they're like, they're all amazed. I'm telling you, I got to read this story because this is it. And people laugh at me when I brought Planet of the Apes last week. They are laughing about the whole thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Researchers have witnessed a chimpanzee skewering a lemur-like creature for supper.
Great.
But it's unclear whether the spectacle was a bit of luck ordered to kill you, the chimps have a more advanced ability to hunt than was thought. Yeah. Okay. They also go a little further down. There was a chimp named Caesar giving out pole arms as well.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this.
Oh,
you
know, man.
You frequently see chimps sticking, you know, sticks into holes or trees so they can make the hole bigger so they can put their arm in. Okay. But they're not, you never see them actually doing this kind of stuff. All right. And
next step, Lancelot Link.
Exactly. What the hell are you talking about?
It was an obscure cultural reference.
Yeah.
Okay. You know Lancelot Link?
No.
He was a chimp secret agent on a 60s TV show.
All right. Great. I'm sure that is about one person and a billion worldwide.
All right. I
want to
ask
that.
Everyone listening, all of the millions of people listening in the next couple years, did you get that reference?
Immediately, without looking it up on the internet.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Look, the final quote on this thing was, in a million years, I never would have predicted that I would have seen hunting, she said. I'm going to plug along and see what it involves. We know what it involves, Frank. Don't we?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Damn dirty apes.
That's right. The Planet of the Apes is starting already. And there it is, your proof, right here, Friday, February 23rd, 5:50 p.m., as reported by Al Jazeera.
Here's Lancelot Link, by the way.
It's a new recording group called Lancelot Link and the Evolution Revolution.
See, an Evolution Revolution.
So, for all of you youngsters out there, here they are with one of their latest tunes. It'll be a really big show.
So, is it chimpanzee spinning around?
Lancelot Link and the Evolution Revolution.
It's a chimpanzee rock group, you see? This is how it starts. Look.
So,
you know they were beating the crap out of these chimps between scenes. Very sad.
They
dress them up in clothing and
beating them.
It's really wrong.
There's like no. Oh my god, they do to the animals.
It's very cruel. I'm not down with the cruelty to animals. I like animals.
Oh my god. People will watch anything, man. I'm telling you. They'll watch anything.
Well, anything with monkeys on it,
monkeys at another show we're doing?
Anything but monkeys. Yeah. Well, I think we mentioned on the show in the past that the three key ingredients to any documentary channel, which is Hitler, monkeys, and retards, and any shows that feature any combination of those are impossible to stop watching. You know? And if you get all three, that's the holy grail of documentaries. The retarded monkey Hitler documentary.
Who are you?
All right. I think it's time for our telephone interview of the day.
And with us, do we have that already set up?
Well, it's set up. Yes, it is pre-recorded.
Did we do that interview? Yeah. Oh, are we doing it live now? No, we're not doing that.
So we do pre-record some content for the show.
Now, do I need to do an intro for this interview, or is it already an intro we're going to use from the last show? Or should we do a fresh one?
No, we talk about it on the... I'm going to edit it in.
The only show with dead air.
Look.
And we can edit it out if we wanted to do. All right.
We are going to now switch over to the interview. And we're going to be talking to Adam Peter from...
But it won't be us talking to Adam Peter actually Monday, which is really recorded not this Saturday.
It was last Monday.
But it was really recorded this Saturday. So it's really been...
Yes.
It's kind of confusing.
You'll get this whole story. He does a t-shirt. So here we go.
So this is our interview with Adam Peter, founder, creator, president, and really swell guy of FoundItemClothing.com.
He's not just a founder, he's also a client. Here we go. All right. Mike, we're back. And time for an interview.
Yes. Our program director out in California has done it again. He's come up with a very interesting guest. We're very excited to have on our show.
It seems like all the interesting people are from California
these
days.
That is the operative word, interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. So
who do we have, Mike?
This is another one of those people running loose in California with a bright idea.
Yes.
We have Adam Peter from the company FoundItemClothing.com.
FoundItemClothing.com.
Now, before Peter, don't tell me what this company is about. I'm going to try to guess, okay? Are you there, Peter?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, I just want to make sure before I go on. You know, I'm trying to figure out if someone was to hear this name, what would they think? All right. So, Frank, when you first heard founditemclothing.com, without even looking, what do you think this company was about?
Well, you know, a lot of the artists, when they do found item art, like they'll find like a candy wrapper on the street and they'll make art out of it, like a found item art. Like they might take Coke cans and make like a statue out of them. Right.
Now, is that what this is all about, Adam?
Well, you know, that's not what it's come to be, but you guys are pretty close.
All right, don't tell me. I'm on the right track. Okay. Yeah. All right. It's you're a company that raids those used clothing drop-off containers and resells what it finds online.
I thought of that one too, actually. Okay. But, okay. Well, that didn't turn out to be the ultimate end here.
All right. Let me go. This is a New York one, but I think this is what it is. It must be a company that has a team of street vigilantes that goes around finding homeless people, beats them to a pulp, steals their clothes, then puts them up for sale online after delousing them. Right?
Yeah, it's very popular with the Hollywood crowd, too.
Really?
It is.
Yeah.
The Hollywood crowd is really into homeless people's clothes. All right, that's great. Yeah. Well, they actually look that way, too. My last stab at this is going to be, what you do is you provide a service online where you locate all the world's lost socks from dryers that have been lost around the world, identify them, code them by previous owner, and then provide a service to mankind by putting them online. Is that right?
We're working on that. The technology is pretty complicated.
Oh, yeah.
We're a couple years away from actually being able to pull that off.
Well, retrieving clothing from extra-dimensional spaces can be very difficult, Frank. But all kidding aside, we have Adam, and I want Adam to talk about his. It's really unique because we love the '80s, Frank and I, because we grew up most of the time in the '80s.
We're old. We were in college in the '80s.
So. Adam, how old are you, Adam?
I'm 26, actually.
He's 26 years old.
Wow!
I have a much older brother, so he brought me into the '80s culture.
How old is your
very young age?
We're ready for this one, Frank.
Brother's 37.
Oh, so. Much old. That's almost 37 is almost dead. You know,
it's almost as old as us.
Yeah, he's old as dirt. You know,
Frank. I'm actually going to be 41, and Frank's going to be 40.
So, well, I'm 39 right now, so I'm not 40 yet.
I'm 40 myself now, and you know I'll be 41 soon, and Frank will be 40. So we lived through this whole thing.
Yeah. This is a great idea. Of course, when people watch these movies, a lot of times the characters are wearing T-shirts, these great T-shirts that don't really exist. And you have recreated these T-shirts, so it looks like you're wearing the original one.
Correct?
I don't know if I described that very well. Let's talk about some of the movies that you have shirts from, because I see a couple that are just great movies, and I would love to have a couple of these shirts. So what are some of the big ones you have?
Well, it all started with one of my favorite movies, which is Real Genius.
Oh,
which
absolutely.
Is, with Val Kilmer.
That's a great one.
And that was really the movie that got the whole thing started. You know, he wears all kinds of great T-shirts in the movie. He's got one that says, you know, I love toxic waste on it, and he's got one that's, you know, it's Surf Nicaragua.
Yeah,
as soon as I saw that, you know, I had to have these T-shirts, you know, I had to make them. So, you know, I had no choice at that point. You know, we do some stuff from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Teen Wolf is actually pretty popular right now.
Teen Wolf. Oh, a nice obscure Michael J. Fox movie. Yes.
Yeah, actually, Jerry Levine, who played Styles in it.
Yes.
Just ordered a T-shirt from us yesterday for his new TV product.
He did.
He's doing a new TV show on FX right now.
Yeah, Styles, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Now, if I can tell you, the way I found out about your website is on these blogs like Slashdot and Dig and all these different blogs. When you created your Flynn's Arcade T-shirt, that reverberated throughout the blogosphere, and I'm a huge fan of the movie Tron. And it's a movie about these people that go into the computer world. But in the beginning is this sort of quintessential 80s arcade owned by this guy, Flynn. And you actually recreated the shirt of the arcade employees. It says Flynn's on the back.
Yeah. I'm amazed he actually picks Val Kilmer's movie Real Genius to launch his company, because our minority program director, Dave Crump, who you've spoken to, Adam, actually is a very big fan of Val Kilmer.
Really?
And I believe he actually slept with Val Kilmer back in the '80s. As a matter of fact,
I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
I don't think.
Well, you can ask him. Just tell him when you see him next time. He said, "Mike said you actually slept with Val Kilmer. Is that true?" You know,
I'm gonna check into this. No, I mean, that's like almost like meeting Val Kilmer. You know,
so. Yeah, that's true. That's true. He'll tell you all the dirty details about being with Val Kilmer. But anyway, so you got this idea from your older brother, you know, who's like old as dirt, being like, you know, 36 years old, 37 years old.
Yeah.
And now you got this huge, gigantic, multi, you know, national conglomerate company that's making billions of dollars every year.
Multi-billion dollar company.
Uh-huh.
Really.
Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, just to stay humble, I haven't quit my day job. I didn't want to, you know, let it all go to my head, the fame and fortune, but...
Right.
Now, when it comes to these shirts, now, do you think these were originally, like shirts that were commercially available or completely made up for the movies? Do you know the difference, like if they were originally available?
Yeah. There's a mix, I think. Yeah. You know, I mean, every shirt, we really researched them very thoroughly. I mean, we want to create something that, you know, is rare and no one's going to be able to get their hands on at this point. And, you know, from what I've seen, it looks like, you know, some of the shirts are things that, you know, a prop master might have dug out of the closet or a Goodwill. And some of them look like, you know, they're unique to the movie. Like we do the Bushwood Country Club Caddy's.
I was just looking at that,
yes.
Man. Caddyshack, one of the funniest movies of all time, Caddyshack. And you have the Bushwood CC. Bushwood Country Club from Caddy. I got to get one of those shirts. So, you know, maybe at the end we can talk deal at the end of this whole thing, because I got to get one of those shirts.
I also love the...
Yeah, let's talk about it.
I love the Elsinore beer. Now, was that actually a T-shirt, or that's just a logo from the movie?
That was just the beer bottle logo, but I thought it was so cool.
That's
on a shirt.
Bob and Doug McKenzie, you know, that movie was called Strange Brew.
Right.
And, of course, they wanted to get free beer because they said they found a mouse in a bottle of beer, but it was a live mouse. And they went to the Elsinore Brewery, and so when I saw that definitely brought all those great memories back.
Yeah, I mean you have shirts that run the gamut. You have shirts from 70s, 80s, and some 90s movies here as well. I see. Is that right?
Yeah, we've done some stuff from Spinal Tap is probably one of the earlier ones, and then more recently we've done things from The Big Lebowski and Happy Gilmore. One of my favorite T-shirts too is the Guns Don't Kill People, I Kill People shirt.
Yeah, yes. It's a good one, and I also noticed here you have a shirt from Summer School, which is really one of which is really one of those movies that it kind of like of the Weird Science ilk that not a lot of people saw, but it was a hysterical movie that starred Mark Harmon and Kirstie Alley, as a matter of fact. And many people don't remember that movie, but she was actually thin and not crazy like she is now.
Yeah.
So and it was actually a very funny film, and it features some very funny people in them, and some great lines in that movie. If you haven't had a chance, you should watch Summer School. It's a really good movie. Do you like that movie? Have you seen that movie, Adam?
Yeah, it's totally underrated, and you know, it's one of those movies that I'd come home after school and it was on HBO every day for like 5 months straight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock hour. So it's burned into my memory. You know, line for line, but it's great. You know, I just rewatched it recently when they're doing the shirt, and you know, it's a classic.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, Chainsaw and Dave and the flesh eating bunny rabbits and. Yeah. You know, all that stuff is great.
Definitely great.
Look
great
at this.
Stuff.
I didn't see this one before. Handsome Boy Modeling School from Get a Life. One of the greatest episodes of that show. That show is got to be one of the best shows ever on television. Of course, Chris Elliott, and he became a model at the Handsome Boy Modeling School. And this is from I'm reading on your website. You designed this from the sign hanging in the office of Handsome Boy Modeling School.
Yeah. So these are all the shirts that are on this. If you go to Found, I'm going to put a plug out there for you, the founditemclothing.com, and it's just mainly T-shirts now. I see you only have T-shirts. Is that correct?
But you have like
we're doing bunny slippers now, too, actually.
Bunny slippers. Okay.
The 19 shirts that we see on here.
Genius, there's some bunny slipper wearing, and okay. we wanted to you know, help people experience the bunny slippers.
Do you have any plans or to do any other types of popular clothing, such as corsets, cod pieces, or spats?
You know, I love shoes. So yeah. At some point, you know, we'd like to maybe look at doing some shoes. You know, in Life Aquatic, there's the Team Zizou Adidas special edition Adidas shoes that I think are pretty amazing.
Right.
You know, so if we ever ever get the means, we might do some you know, custom footwear. Well,
now, I have a request. This is a serious request because I was just watching an 80s movie last night, Repo Man, right? Uh-huh. And, I don't know if you're familiar with Repo Man.
Well, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what movie we're talking about? Okay, Repo Man is a cult classic, Adam. Just so you know, a little background, and this is for also for our listeners.
Yeah.
People don't know this, but Frank and I, when we lived together in college for a year, I had a television, a 19-inch color television that I brought into the dorm room and hooked up an ancient VCR that Frank had brought from his house.
It was a top-loading VCR from about 1975.
So you put a gigantic cassette tape, it was like a tape recorder, and actually had to push it down and put a brick on top of it to hold it from popping up. All right, but we played the video Repo Man on a loop day and night with the television on around the clock, like 24/7 until the TV just one day exploded, you know, and that was the end of that.
And then in later years, we put it on cassette tapes, right?
And we had memorized the movie down to, and this is how much time we had on our hands back then. Every last line, every background noise, we could call each other up and just do the entire movie from start to finish. Every line of Repo Man.
Yeah, and in the 90s, I was working in the printing industry, and I had it on a cassette, and I just put it on a loop. And when a lot of times I would be working at night by myself, I would just listen to Repo Man over and over and over again. So we have a history with this movie.
Yeah.
But here's my request. As you know, one of the big features in the movie is there's generic foods. Like when they go, let's go buy a drink, it just says drink. Or here, have a beer, it's just this generic thing that says beer. There's one scene in the movie that I don't know if it's in it for very long, but the character, one of the Repo Men named Oli, is wearing a T-shirt version of that word beer. So he has a beer T-shirt, which is just that generic beer. And I think that would be a fantastic shirt for your company to recreate. And you can definitely see it. There's enough image on there to reference it. And I would be very proud to wear a Found Item Clothing Repo Man beer T-shirt. So that is my official request to Found Item Clothing.
Okay.
So look into it.
We love the quest. I know it. I love that shirt. So you're putting in another vote for it.
Yes.
And we might make your dreams come true here, I think.
Kind of like the college T-shirt that you see, the sweatshirt that John Belushi wore in the movie Animal House. You know, that you see a lot of people wearing that shirt these days, the college shirt. Right. That's quite hackneyed. Yeah. That's quite hackneyed, however.
I have another question. Is there, do you get any like copyright issues or anything with any of this stuff, or is everything pretty cool, or how does that work out?
No, everyone's been really cool. The only people that have, been involved in the original shirts that have contacted us have actually been really excited.
Oh, really? That's great.
We have the service, and... like I said, Jerry Levine, just recently, wanted some of them for a project he's working on.
That's right. Great. So it's not like the recording industry where they're suing everyone. The T-shirt industry is a little bit more lenient.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, we're really just trying to, promote these movies and, celebrate them in kind of a different way, that isn't sort of the traditional way to, merchandise a shirt. It's more like you're sharing it into your side kind of knowledge here amongst other people that really appreciate cult kind of 80s movies.
There's another movie that has a T-shirt in it. I'm trying to Mall Rats. You get a request for this T-shirt. It's a weird T-shirt of some guy's like giant head or something. The main character wears it through the entire movie. Does that ring a bell at all?
No, I'll definitely check it out. Yeah, Mallrats
is very, very well.
I mean, but the thing is, this shirt is like a huge part of the movie, and every time I see this movie, I love Mallrats, by the way. It's a great movie. You see this shirt, it's like I don't even know what it is. It's like some guy's head. I don't know. Who knows if Kevin Smith already like marketed that shirt? I don't know.
Right. Now, I noticed there's a little drop-down box here that says you deal in human trafficking. Is that correct as well, too?
Human trafficking.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's actually a little drop. I see a little drop down box on your site that says you deal in human trafficking. Is that true?
Human trafficking.
Or is that a mistake? Do you actually sell people through your
We're not supposed to talk about that.
But you can get people. you can do that if you need help or anything else, right? Okay, good. Excellent.
We're a multi-service company.
Very good. Very good. I have another request, too. One of the things is, too, now, since we're going to be the first and ever premium podcast on the internet worth actually paying for. We're basically going to be the slogan of our show is called Abandon Reality. And we have a really cool font called Boycott that we have and we purchased, and it's a really cool shirt. It can be a really great shirt design, and we'd be honored if you would do our shirt. And I guess because we could put it up there, and I think people would love to get this shirt, and it could be really big. And just the expression "abandoned reality" is a really cool thing, and not to make people talk. And I think with Frank, send it to you, take a look at it and see what you think. And would you be open to perhaps branching out and then looking into creating our shirt?
We'd love to help you out and bring our design services to your show here and make a quality shirt.
Right.
We'll see what we can do.
Frank, please put that down.
It's definitely in the style of those older shirts, and So that'd be very cool. So we'll write that down.
Well, so a found item clothing original. We can give them away as gifts, and we actually are going to have a huge. We're going to be appearing at a big pod camp coming up.
Yes,
right?
The pod camp.
Yeah, coming up. You want to tell people about that?
Wow.
Well, it's podcasters getting together in New York City to discuss podcasting.
Correct, and that'll be when in April.
Sometime in April.
Yeah, yes. And we will be there. We'll be giving out shirts, and at that time we're planning on giving out at least like a few hundred shirts. Yes. Our Abandoned Reality shirts, and if we can get, and we'll definitely link them back to Phantom Clothing, so maybe we can work something out with Adam Peter. You know, what's it like going through life having two first names, Adam? Has it been tough on you?
It creates a constant confusion in my life.
Well, I'm Frank Nora. I'm the same way, but it's a girl's name, not a boy. He's better off with it. You're better off with a boy's last name, you know, Frank Nora.
Yeah.
So finally, Adam, I have one last question. Any sneak previews for our listeners? What may be coming up? What movies you may be targeting next on your site? Any sneak previews?
Sure. We just released one from Spinal Tap this week.
That is a great shirt, absolutely.
Shirt,
the green skeleton one. Shirt, yes.
And then I think next month we're going to be doing two shirts from Shaun of the Dead. We're going to do the I Got Wolf shirt and the Zombie shirt.
What was it? Can you say that again?
Next month is going to be Shaun of the Dead month.
Shaun of the Dead month.
Excellent.
And the two shirts again were?
I Got Wood and Zombied.
Zombied. Pretty
excellent.
Cool. Very cool.
Yes, everybody's favorite zombie-based charity.
Very good. But this has been great. Very entertaining. And I really thank you for coming on the show. And yep. We're looking to talk to you again.
It.
And we can't wait to see our Abandoned Reality t-shirt up there. And Frank will be really, working with you to get that done.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Adam, from founditemclothing.com.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is her goodbye.
Hello.
Hello. Groovy.
El Gato Negro. El Gato Negro. All this music, by the way, is Creative Commons, right, Mike?
Pod safe music?
Well, it's Creative Commons.
Wait, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
All the music I play on the show, all this, like El Gato Negro, right, is a Creative Commons attribution license, which means that the people that made this music have released it. You can do anything you want with it as long as you give them credit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to our show notes, you will see the credits of all the people that worked on these songs. Just want to mention that, just so you know.
That's wonderful.
For example, this song was done by Wrench, Buzzing Strings, and Microman. Microman.
So we can't get sued for this music then?
Technically, it is legal.
Technically.
Unlike that box of cash thing that's illegal.
The box of cash.
Any progress on the box of cash?
That's a good question about the box of cash because, I want to get that going. So, no, the box of cash is hung up in legal channels right now at this point, but we will follow up with the box of cash.
It's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court,
but,
I believe.
But I think we've drained our box of cash because I have to send a lot of it to Ireland right now. But what is an Irish person doing signing up for a show? Like this, I don't understand this.
Yeah.
He registered and paid. Not that it's okay. I mean, he paid for our show.
Yeah.
2 hours and 20 minutes after it was released.
Yes.
It's a three-hour show.
Yeah.
So go figure that out right now.
He wanted to hear it in its entirety.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So he didn't listen. He just automatically say, hey, I'll flip the bill for it. No problem. We need more people like him.
Exactly. Neil from Ireland, you rock.
I want him to do more of our marketing. I want him to come up with an Irish marketing plan that doesn't involve alcohol. Okay? Can't involve alcohol. All right? Or potatoes. All right. Neither of those two things can be involved, or leprechauns. No leprechauns in our marketing campaign. All right. If you can avoid those three Irish cliches, Frank, you can do our marketing if you'd like to do that.
We should give. I know how we can pay off our debt to Neil.
How can we do that?
He is a podcaster.
Yeah.
We can plug his podcast.
What is his podcast? He said actually in his email, the podcast not worth paying for.
That's what really?
That's his podcast is.
Well, it's not opening. The Into Your Head, it's the Into Your Head podcast. There
really?
You go. Yeah.
So then maybe he can basically promote us and we'll get a big listenership in Ireland.
Well, you know, we haven't set the ad rates yet on the show, so we'll do a...
Groovy, baby.
All right,
if his site can open, I don't think it's his. I think it's our computer connection here. But go to the intoyourhead.com to check out the podcast. And there you go. The ad rates are $1 million per 10 seconds. Sorry, Neil. That's our way of getting out. No. Mike is going to give you your $1 per, what is it? $1 per year.
$1 a year for a million years.
Starting in 100 years.
No.
That's the term.
It's this year.
Really?
Oh, blimey.
Okay. I'll do it this year.
Well, his show is explicit. Look at this.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So anyway.
Okay. So you can plug us on his show. Are there any other podcasters we want to plug right now so we can just email them our show and then they can listen to it and say, hey, we got a plug on the show? What are some big podcasters out there, Frank? People that our listeners would love to hear. Oh, we're the crickets. Cue the crickets that we need at this point. Are there any other podcasters? Is there any podcast of redeeming quality that anybody would like to listen to? I don't think so. Right?
No.
Oh, God.
There's a lot of good podcasts out there. We'll have to do more research. We'll get into more podcasts and talking about podcasts at some future date. But right now, it is time for Submit-A-Bit. Correct?
Submit-A-Bit.
Submit-A-Bit is the thing right now. And
remember, this is the first attempt at Submit-A-Bit. And, you know, it's not bad, but, you know, we're going to go with it because we want to keep our listeners happy. This is your show. This is a show for the people, by the people, of the people. The Anything on Monday show.
And and before we play Submit-A-Bit, I have to play Find an Email. I just opened it. Now I lost it.
Oh, my God. You freaking...
Find an Email. Yes. Oh, Submit-A-Bit is a great idea. You, the
yes,
listener.
I'm having difficulty controlling the voice.
I love my voice. Go ahead.
Here we go. Stew Dog in San Diego.
Yes.
Has submitted the very first Submit-A-Bit ever. So this is a historic
Everything
occasion.
Historic. Yes.
The very first Submit-A-Bit. Stew Dog in San Diego. This is what he writes. Hey, Mike and Frank. Or he actually says, hey, Frank and Mike. He puts me first. So.
That's okay. He likes you, Frank.
Yes. Hey, Frank and Mike. Very nice work on the first ABM episode. Here's a Submit-A-Bit for your consideration. The segment would be called Illuminati or Illuminati. Basically, you would choose a minor celebrity or world figure each week, say Gary Coleman, Hulk Hogan, Nancy Pelosi, or the guy who played Screech on Saved by the Bell. Mike would make an argument why the individual is indeed a member of the Illuminati. Frank, of course, would take the contrarian viewpoint and try to his best to argue why the person is not a member of the Illuminati. The best argument wins. There you go. Run with it. Now I have to go to a crazy party with lots of nude chicks. Stew Dogs in San Diego. He's there in California. Oh, boy.
He probably knows our two girls from last week.
Tanya and Tawny
and
Aaron. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we're going to be playing the Submit-A-Bit Illuminati or Illuminati. So what is the Illuminati? Basically, it's like a conspiracy theory, correct?
Frank, why don't you explain to people what the Illuminati is? Because you really seem to be really embroiled.
It's like
in this
a New World Order.
Yeah.
It's like a New World Order. And there's the idea, if you go into websites, they'll say a lot of the rich and powerful people in the world, they want to sort of create a one world government.
Right.
And it's like this whole conspiracy.
George W. Bush.
They're pulling the strings behind the scenes and it's this big thing. Right.
George Bush.
Yeah. Like George Bush would be in the Illuminati if it was real. Of course, right, it's not real.
I was trying to do like a subliminal message. George Bush. Okay. Can you hear it? You know, Hillary Clinton. I'm just trying to do.
I'm just saying you find a lot of those. See, now the thing is,
Barack Obama.
Well, of course. I like to go online and read the conspiracy websites and especially the conspiracy videos. And I find that I find you can be watching. You know, the thing about the internet is there's a lot of videos online, right? True or false, there are a lot of videos on the internet.
That would be true.
Yes. And a lot of them are about conspiracies.
Yeah.
And I find that I'm completely gullible. Whenever I'm watching these conspiracy videos, I believe it.
Exactly.
Right?
Every one of them.
Yeah, there's one about the Illuminati. This guy, David Icke, he's like, there is an Illuminati, I'm telling you. And it's like, oh, wow, this guy's good.
And the I like his voice.
And the people are all reptiles. Right? So he's telling you. This is 100% true. Look up David Icke. You know, I-C-K-E is his last name. He's like, these people are controlling the world. There's a new world order, right? You're like, yeah, that sounds good.
It sounds good.
And they are reptilian. And he shows like a picture of Queen Elizabeth turning into a reptile, right?
What is this, V?
I mean, he's a very popular guy, too. And it's like I'm like, yeah, as I'm watching it, yeah, yeah, reptiles, yeah, that's right. And then after
I can believe that, yeah.
Then after you're done, like, yeah. What? Oh. That's bullshit. You know? So that's what it is. There's a lot of these videos floating around, and who knows what's true? Who knows what's true and what's not true? But the Illuminati is for the New World Order. I'm saying that I don't believe they exist because in the slight chance that they're real, I don't want them to be upset with the Anything But Monday show. So anyway, I have a list of people. Now I figure we're gonna do like Illuminati or not Illuminati, right? Something like that. Well, just so it's easier to say, because I have a list of people here, and incredibly, when I thought I was coming up with obscure celebrities, one of them has already been mentioned on the show.
Who?
We'll get to that one.
Okay.
So I'm going to read you my list, and we're going to decide. I think we're going to discuss if they're in the Illuminati or not.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is Bruce Jenner.
Bruce Jenner.
I don't know if any of the younger people.
Do you want to hear an amazing story about today that I heard?
You heard about Bruce Jenner today?
I heard an Olympic story today.
Really? Bruce Jenner was an Olympic athlete. He was the decathlon, right?
Yeah.
Back in
He was in the Wheaties box. He was the first guy on that. Yeah. National hero.
A lot of you younger people may not know who Bruce Jenner is, but he was one of the largest celebrities of the 70s, I believe.
Mark Spitz was the other one, right?
Yeah.
Well, here's a bit of trivia for you.
Yeah.
Okay. I met a doctor today who basically, he met on Match.com Mark Spitz's sister.
Mark Spitz's sister.
And banged her immediately.
What?
There was like no, he met her and she got off the plane, they went right to a bed and breakfast, banged her.
Allegedly.
No, it's a true story. And she said his exact words. This guy says she was disgusting.
What?
So he's going around and telling him, he's like, bang Mark Spitz's sister and she was disgusting. That's what he said.
Allegedly. Allegedly. This is hearsay. I doubt that's true. Because
it is not. It's true, Frank.
You've identified a private citizen by her relationship to a celebrity and told fantastic tales. Is this someone you know?
Yeah, I got a doctor I just met. I can't tell you.
I think he was exaggerating.
He wasn't exaggerating. This is a true story. I feel back out. I said, what obscure thing would you come up with? Why would you say that? You
know, what if Mark Spitz's sister is listening to the show?
Why would you say if it's not true?
I want to say to Mark Spitz's sister.
Why pick Mark Spitz's sister?
I apologize for Mad Mike Master's behavior. He heard a rumor that is probably not true. And we don't support that kind of thing here on the Anything But Monday show, those kind of rumors.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Right. All right, let's get back to the matter at hand here.
I tagged her rotten, baby, yeah.
Bruce Jenner, is he in the Illuminati or not? Did the Illuminati provide him with, like, super drugs to become a good runner back in the 70s?
I would have to say that Bruce Jenner is definitely Illuminati.
Yeah, he's not in the Illuminati at all.
Anybody who would appear on Dancing with the Stars or whatever crazy, Skating with the Stars or whatever he was on is definitely too much of a fruit to be in the Illuminati, so...
All right, I agree with you. He's not in the Illuminati, but we're supposed to argue on this one. Well, we're adapting this a little bit.
We're adapting it.
We're sort of.
He's lucky we even mentioned his name on the show. Go ahead.
Jack Klugman.
Okay, Jack Klugman.
He was in The Odd Couple. He paid Oscar. Is he in the Illuminati or not? Is he Illuminati?
He definitely is Illuminati. They cut out his throat. That whole thing was a whole thing.
Because he knew their secrets, and they cut out his throat so he couldn't speak the secrets.
What?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I agree with you on that one.
Okay, good.
Next on the list, Young MC.
Who's that?
Young MC. Busta Move?
Yeah, I know Busta Move, yeah.
So, come on.
What's Busta Move?
All right, hold on. We'll find it on YouTube.
Young MC. Oh, I know. I was at my wedding. They played that song, actually.
Is Young MC in the Illuminati or not?
Actually,
I think he is.
Actually, our black program director, Dave Crum, was a very good dancer.
Yeah.
Go figure. And he actually danced to Bust a Move at my wedding, as a matter of fact.
Here he is live on Arsenio in 89.
Really?
Doing Bust a Move.
Is he actually going to do that? Bust. Oh, I know this song. Yeah.
This is the same year our company fell apart.
Hey, baby, play it.
We can only play a little bit because it's copyrighted. Just a little sample.
Just a sample. What is he doing? The whole place is going nuts. Is our singer dancing too?
Is this guy in the Illuminati or not? I think he is.
Frank, I hate to break the news to you. You may think that, but I would say not.
What?
We do not like black people in the Illuminati, okay?
What about Barack Obama? He's in the Illuminati.
Barack Obama is not in the Illuminati.
He is.
Okay, he is not. He will be the next president of the United States. He is not in the Illuminati. Please, Frank, please. Let me have some hope that some decent, intelligent person may get elected in this country. Please.
Now, I have... Okay, now my next one on my list are two people, and I think they're a perfect example of Illuminati, Statler and Waldorf, the two puppets from The Muppet Show. Of course, I've been watching a lot of Muppet Show. Those guys are the Illuminati. They sit up there in the balcony, and they control The Muppet Show, exactly like the Illuminati. Okay?
Right. When are you going to grow up? when are you going to grow up?
Statler and Waldorf.
The only reason I know who they are, first of all, the only way anybody knows who you are.
Everyone knows Statler and Waldorf. Everyone knows Statler and Waldorf.
When's the last time The Muppet Show was on television?
Isn't it syndicated in 85 countries worldwide?
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Sure, no, it's not. Okay. So obviously, the Muppet Show has been off the air since like 1980.
Yeah.
Maybe, okay? So most people listen to the show.
Most people know The Muppet Show.
Yeah, they know The Muppet Show, but they don't know Statler and what was
that? Statler, there are two guys in the balcony.
Yeah,
okay. They're like, that sucked. Yeah, it sucked. You know?
Come on.
You know, I want to have like puppets in the corner criticizing us.
Can we build a balcony in this office?
I want to have like two little puppets in the corner that are, like,
I want to have a balcony in the corner that heckles us.
I want like little things. Can we do that? Have like two little puppets up there that are like,
oh god,
criticizing us.
I'm getting no sleep again. please, people, just pay for this show.
All right, so I have a few more people. Let's just spend money on the show, please,
so we can just do this.
Yes,
please.
Well, the people listening now are premium members, unless they're pirating it. Do you think anyone's pirating this show yet?
just people in Penzance, Frank, are doing that.
All right, so yeah, so we're gonna go through the rest of these and Calista Flockhart, Illuminati or not Illuminati?
Oh, that
Ally McBeal.
That is Illuminati.
That little baby dancing around.
Exactly.
That was created by the Illuminati computer graphic systems.
You know, that's it. You know,
I can't believe I used to watch that show. Remember Ally McBeal?
I
used to watch that.
Hang your head in shame.
It was good for a while, but I have vague memories of watching it.
Oh.
All right, how about Dido?
Who's Dido?
You know Dido.
Oh, please.
She was a one-hit wonder from the 90s.
Yeah, oh, then of course I know Dido.
What do you think?
I gave up on music in the 90s. Okay.
So what do you think? Is she in the Illuminati
or what?
What
are you playing? Are you playing something I'm supposed to hear?
This is the song. Dido.
I'm already bored.
Is she in the Illuminati or not?
Of course not.
You're right. She's not.
Of course
and
not.
Next on my list, Christina Ricci.
How did Christina Ricci get on?
She's on our show twice.
Twice?
I don't know. I just came up with this list off the top of my head.
And you did not know. We did not speak.
We did not speak. This is a total synchronicity. It's amazing.
It must be proves the fact that she is in Illuminati.
Yes.
To mind control us to have us both put her on the show on the
exactly.
same day.
Exactly. She implanted it. She could be this.
Right.
What?
She can actually be
careful with that.
She's actually
it's touching my mouse wire. Get it off of there. Get it off of my mouse wire.
She can actually be in the form
of the camembert thing that smelled like
a smelly. Oh my!
That's rank.
Right. That's foul. I'm telling you, you put this. This will be a great gag. I'm telling you, it will be a great gag. But go ahead.
Okay. Next on the list, Garrett Morris.
Garrett Morris.
The first black guy on Saturday Night Live.
Yes, Saturday Night Live. Garrett Morris.
Is he in the Illuminati?
Little people don't know this, actually, but he is in the Illuminati because he's not actually black.
Really?
Nope.
And he was in that movie, The Stuff, which is sort of an Illuminati plot to take over the world with yogurt, basically, you know?
With marshmallow fluff.
Yeah.
Go find that as a trailer. You want to talk about a bad movie? I actually worked in the theater when that movie came out. You know, are you eating it or is it eating you? That was the line. That was the line. Are you eating it or is it eating you?
Yeah.
It's like marshmallow fluff gun run amok. All right.
Here it is.
Here it is. You got to hear it. Is it going to come up? They're going to play a trailer?
From New World Pictures.
This movie gets made somehow, but they won't make our movie.
Warning. We interrupt this presentation with the following urgent message regarding The Stuff. If you see it in stores, call the police. If you have it in your home, don't touch it. Get out. The stuff is a product of nature, a deadly living organism. It is addictive and destructive. It can overcome your mind and take over your body. And nothing can stop it.
The Stuff. This is like, it was like yogurt, and when you eat it, you die.
Are you prepared to say
is Garrett Morris.
You've actually seen people devoured by the stuff.
Oh, is it in cartons?
Tonight, America is in grave danger.
Oh, who's that guy that acted?
It's gonna kill you all!
Well, the stuff. It's like the blob.
Why are the Nicaraguans in this movie?
The stuff. You have been warned.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He is definitely a
Michael Moriarty was in that movie.
Paul Sorvino. That was the guy. Mira Sorvino's father.
And Dan Aiello, I think, was in it too.
Yeah, the stuff. So you were in the theater when that movie came out?
Yeah, I was in the theater when that movie came out. And we laughed at it just as hard then, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Joe Piscopo, another New Jersey resident.
In Illuminati?
No, he would be more successful if he was in the Illuminati.
Yeah, he's more mafia than Illuminati.
Joe Namath, the football player.
Joe Namath.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, the Illuminati controlled the Brady Bunch, and that's the only way he could have gotten on there, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
For sure he's in there. Yep.
And how about last one, Avril Lavigne, or Levine. I can never... Avril Lavigne. Is she in the Illuminati?
She's too stupid to be in the Illuminati.
Exactly, she's not. She's Illuminati.
Illuminati. How about Paris Hilton?
I'm not sure. What would you say she was?
He's an Illuminati.
Illuminati. There you go.
Yeah. Any offspring of the Illuminati parents, which for sure.
Yes.
That would be the case. But anyway, that was Illuminati or Illuminati. Believe me.
Submit a bit by Stew Dog. See, we tried to do what we could do with it. We did our best.
Look, let me tell you something. It's now 2:30 in the morning. All right.
It is 2:30 in the morning.
And,
yes.
And I'm doing this submit a bit on Illuminati or Illuminati. Please. Put some thought into these things a little more and help us out, okay?
You have to actually wake up tomorrow, right? I can sleep in.
You suck, man. I got to get
up. What time do you have to wake up?
I got a Polish cleaning woman coming to my house tomorrow morning, you know?
Really?
I'm going to hear this tomorrow on my room. I'm like, housekeeping! Housekeeping! I'm going to hear that on my door tomorrow. I see it's going to be in Polish.
Great.
Okay. So, anyway. What else? Are we winding down?
We're getting to the end. The credits are queued up.
What about a horoscope for the day?
We're going to do the horoscope?
We're going to do a quick horoscope. People have
do
to.
Do a quick one. All right. Are we ready?
We need our... Am I doing the horoscope myself? Am I doing them all?
Well, I got to do some too.
All right. Well, then let's take a little quick break. We'll come back and we'll do the horoscope and send people on their merry way. How about that?
All right. As soon as we come back, we'll start doing it.
Would it be good if we have some music to go out to?
Well, I'll start playing the music and edit it in afterwards. And now, on the Anything But Monday show, it's time for your horoscope. Aries, come to the honeycomb hideout. Blindly thrust your hand repeatedly into a drawer of sharp cutlery and eating utensils. Rope-a-dope the Pope.
Gemini, I'd hang on to that holy grail you received at Sunoco for filling up. Unfortunately, yes, Jimi Hendrix was your grandmother. Greenpeace will declare your commode an atrocity. Visualize world peace as it pertains to Lily Munster.
Taurus, vacation at a Haitian gas station with a mental outpatient. An unexpected windfall will cause you rampant flatulence. Whoops, your lucky number is 666.
Libra, a tandem of queer madrigal singers will teleport into your attic on the spring solstice. An anvil ricochet off your aquarium. A full moon gives you the power to give people orgasms just by staring at them.
Leo, the rain in Spain may fall mainly on the plain, but you fall on a loose step. That verbal contract you made with your brassiere is legal and binding. Covet and hoard.
Aquarius, collect the monocles of Nazi war criminals. Your rent just went up $1 million. Your new hobby is death.
Virgo, Ronzoni is your spiritual marinara. Your dog finally has its day and spends it giving cunnilingus to your wife. Indulge in utter stupidity.
Cancer. No, the subway is not just your magical chariot.
Express the feeling you get when a badger grabs you by the scrotum. If you just had one more second on Thursday, you would have lived.
Sagittarius. Mars in the fourth house causes the spontaneous combustion of all your pubic hair. Hey, everyone born on May 31st, duck.
Scorpio. Piss on that Conrad fellow and fast. Fuck is Conrad? Flame that anti-Semitic rabbi a yarmulke of plastic explosives. Mars and Cleopatra will cause the heavens to orgasm on your roof.
What? Capricorn. This month, banality is your forte. Juxtapose napalm to a whorehouse. A sexual encounter with a deep dish pan pizza will cause you to realize the futility of the U.S. presence in Iraq.
And Pisces. Everything you touch levitates for 10 seconds before exploding. Wine, dine, and 69, that ermine. Are you aware of that sunken treasure in your septic tank? Suggest origami to a frustrated steelworker. And for Willy the Worm, born on February 29th, for those of you that are born on February 29th, jury duty is your duty, but your duty is not the jury. Your devil-may-care attitude just grabbed Mammon's attention. Lightning never strikes the same place twice, but this month, three times the charm.
And that is your horoscope for today. The 20... whatever. Now, I want to just say, there is a... It's not Conrad Slater that we're talking about.
Who's Conrad Slater?
He's a guy that wrote the article about the whole thing.
What thing?
We wrote that long before. We probably wrote that before Conrad was born.
Who's Conrad?
He wrote an article about, like, an anti-anything-but-Monday article.
When did he write that?
A while back.
We haven't had him killed yet?
No.
Fucker.
But we didn't mean to piss on him. That was a different Conrad. I think I wrote that probably, like, back in, like, 1987 or something.
Fucking jerk off. Okay.
No, he's a nice guy. He's a very nice guy.
Yeah, what's he doing now?
Ooh. Ooh, listen to that.
Well, that comes because the end of our show is coming, Frank.
Yeah. The end of the show. Now, how are you going to dispose of these things? The camembert. Let me take a picture of the camembert over there. This, the studio here is like strewn with horrific foods.
And debris. And we're wrapping up, and it's right now.
I'm going to take a close-up here of this.
We officially have spent 2 days during this show.
It is now 2:38 a.m.
2:38 a.m., and I hope you've enjoyed our little rampant little rage we've had here for 3 hours, and enjoyed all this great comedy, and felt it worth the prorated, what, $2 it ended up being?
25 cents a day.
That's what it comes out to be?
Yes,
25 cents a day.
Well, basically, 26 or whatever.
For us, it's been 12 and a half cents, basically, for each of us during these 2 days.
Take a few pictures here.
So, anyway.
The credits are rolling by. The show is over.
There's been a lot of great people that helped us on the show this week, and we'd like to acknowledge them.
The people are walking out of the theater.
Well, you know, our chimp trainer was very helpful for this show. We definitely also like to thank our zombie wrangler for the show.
And, yeah, I mean, a lot of people actually work on the Urban Ice Cave that you wouldn't know. I mean, for example...
We never would have made it without the zombie wrangler, right? The zombie never would have worked without him, correct?
Well, for example, you wouldn't know that...
Thank the zombie wrangler.
Yes, thank you. Zombie wrangler. There's a lot of stuff, you know? As the credits continue to roll, you see a lot of the people... You didn't know we actually have a Sasquatch arranger.
We do?
Yeah, Leon True.
Leon True.
Is our Sasquatch arranger, and when we have a bunch of Sasquatches or Yeti or Bigfoots, you know, assorted... you want to arrange them in an aesthetically pleasing pattern. And Leon has been doing this for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the best in the business. And
with all sorts of abominable snowmen.
Yeah. So, I mean, we only have four out there right now. But
a lot of space.
I mean, to be honest, Leon could have done a better job. I think he had to go home. But they're comatose. They've been...
put to sleep by the
show. They've been drugged, and they're laying... There's two Sasquatches, a Bigfoot, and...
Yeti.
And No. It's a rare spotted Yeti.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But it was created through artificial insemination, so it's not really that valuable.
Who inseminated it, Frank?
Well, anyway, I plead the fifth on that.
I don't want to brag, but
yeah. And
if there's one person that can please the Yeti, it's me, Frank.
And of course, we can't forget Anthony Bassoons.
Yeah,
he's the Eastern European Falconers Association liaison. Because in the course of doing the Anything But Monday show, of course, we have to deal with all of the world's major Falconers associations.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of Eastern Europe, like whatever, like Romania, like you talked about, and all those, whatever, Hungary, whatever.
Right.
All of the Falconers associations. Anthony Bassoons, or Tony as we call him, works with the Falconers Associations in conjunction with the show.
Great.
And he's really helpful, and he might even, you know, I know our Western European Falconers Association liaison has not been doing the best job, so Anthony is thinking he could do all of Europe. So,
really?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
So for all of the Falconers out there, I want to thank you for all your help as well. But Anthony.
And also, yes. And also when he occasionally takes care of our carrier pigeons, because yes. During the course of the show, we often have to send messages out.
Yes, and we don't want the Falcons to kill them. Yes.
You know, we need to get our messages to get through, and we're doing our show. We can't be interrupted. It's a quiet way of getting messages back and forth.
I know.
How many times has a carrier pigeon came in and out of the show? You wouldn't even know it.
That's
so
right.
Quiet.
Now we're down to the last 30 seconds of the show.
Yeah.
I want to thank everyone that's worked on the show. Everyone, thank you for subscribing.
Thank you for subscribing. If you're listening, this is your show. Spread the word. The Anything But Monday show on the internet. Blog it. Clog it.
Yes.
Blog it.
And good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Good night. Good.